Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, Big Iron kicks off today. Welcome to town. All of you have traveled in for the 3-day show. It's going to be warm, tell you that much, but dry, so you don't have to worry about rain. Right now, we're clear. We have 64 degrees here at our WDAY Radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south-southeast, 10 miles an hour. Looks like 87 our high temp the next 2 days. Thursday, sunny, windy with a high of 90. You may notice there's, depending on where you're at, I don't detect it here a whole lot, but there is smoke in the air, again, in some parts of our listening area.
Well, I spent a lot of time outside yesterday.
It was hot. I went to the mailbox.
I wasn't outside yesterday.
I watered two of my plants, went to the mailbox, and went back in the house.
I went to get my extras. I went to the gym. I stayed inside to work out. So I did that, and then I went home, and then I didn't get up off the couch.
I took a nap on the couch, and I really did nothing yesterday.
I think I really took maybe a cat nap, and then I found out. I was like, hey, can you swing by and pick up our youngest? What time is she done? 3:35, and it was like 3:30, so I was like, I didn't have to get up and go get her.
There you go. I'm going to say that's nap time for you usually.
Right at that point in time, I should have went back to sleep or tried to go back to sleep, take a nap, but I didn't.
My Fitbit told me I took a 2-hour, 3-minute nap yesterday. Obviously, I needed it, and good for you for getting to the gym because I did absolutely nothing. I tried to go on my treadmill. That lasted 100 steps.
Yeah, I mean, it was the normal kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say quick workout, but it was still, you know, an hour at the gym that, you know, I haven't been able to make it there regularly.
It's hard to get motivated. Some days you just don't feel like it.
There's a few days where you're feeling not quite 100%, so it's easy to just say, like, nah, I'm just going to go home and take a nap. And so with our wonky schedules at time, Bonnie, it's a little bit easier for me to run home and just take an hour and a half, 2-hour nap.
I always prioritize sleep before exercise. Yeah. I try to get, you know, my walking in every day, but if I'm tired, nap is coming first.
They're both very, very important. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that with different guests. I mean, we'll talk about that with Lizzie usually, you know, a lot of times when we have her on Wednesdays. But it's one of those things that it's a component of everything.
It's a balance. You got to figure out.
So it's hard to go work out and have a good workout, especially
if you're tired.
If you're like last week on Friday, I was on like 4 hours of sleep. So that wasn't really going
to
work.
Why does life have to be so difficult?
I don't know.
All right. So again, it's going to be warm and sunny the next 3 days and a little bit of wind added in, perhaps some smoke, depending on where you're at. The Fargo Police Department has brought back its traffic safety team. The team will patrol high traffic areas and respond to community concerns regarding speeding, racing, exhibition driving, loud mufflers, and other illegal behavior. $750,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice is assisting with expenses of the salary and benefits of the traffic safety team's 6 officers over a 3-year period. A Fargo man has pleaded not guilty to murder and the strangulation death of 59-year-old Jody Campbell in June. Campbell was found dead in an apartment she shared with 61-year-old Randall Duffy, who police say admitted to choking her during an argument over drugs. Investigators say he called police hours later and officers found Campbell's body in a closet. Duffy is due in court again on October 3rd. A Frazee, Minnesota man died after the SUV he was driving left a road, rolled, and hit a power pole. It happened yesterday near Little Toad Lake in Becker County. 74-year-old Matthew Mess died at the scene. The crash remains under investigation. 79-year-old Northwood man was seriously hurt in a pickup semi crash in Grand Forks County. It happened yesterday morning at an intersection near Northwood. The victim was taken to the hospital by ambulance. The trucker, 69-year-old Charles Bachmeyer of Northwood, was cited for failure to yield. A Bismarck woman's been sentenced to 1.5 years probation in an animal cruelty case. Charges stem from kittens that were found dead in a backpack along a road in Mandan last year. Investigators determined the kittens were left there by Taylor Jensen, who tried to drop the kittens off at a local animal rescue but was turned away because she didn't follow the facility's surrender policies. A suspect in a deadly crash that killed 2 people in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, is now facing more charges. Police say Stephen Bailey smashed into the patio of the Park Tavern, killing guest Gabe Harvey and server Christina Folkerts. Several others were hurt. And the county prosecutors have added 2 counts of third-degree murder against Bailey, whose blood alcohol level they say was more than 4 times the legal limit. And Minnesota is launching a new campaign designed to bring new businesses to the state. The Star of the North campaign is a joint venture between Explore Minnesota and the State Department of Employment and Economic Development. Nationwide campaign promotes Minnesota's strong business environment as well as quality of life. 5:05, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stenman.
Thank you, Bonnie. Another not good night for the Twins. Minnesota Twins. Yeah. They fell to the Los Angeles Angels 6-2 last night. Twins have now lost four straight games. David Festa gave up four runs over four innings and took the loss. Kyle Farmer hit a solo home run while Carlos Santana also drove in a run. Twins and Angels square off again today beginning at 6:40 with Pablo Lopez set to get the start. Minnesota currently has a three-game lead over Detroit, Boston, and Seattle for the final wild card spot. It's going to be all for naught, Bonnie, if they can't find a way to start winning some games.
Yeah.
After scoring the game's first run last night, the Redhawks gave up 10 unanswered runs in a 10-1 loss to the Winnipeg Goldeyes in Game 1 of the West Division Championship Series. Orlando Rodriguez was tagged with the loss after giving up 5 runs over 2 1/3. Redhawks' only run was driven in by Drew Ward. Series now shifts to Winnipeg on Wednesday. First pitch scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Goldeyes lead the best of three series 1-0. Minnesota Lynx are visiting the Atlanta Dream tonight. They take on Atlanta at 6:30. Game coverage is going to be available on NBA TV. Lynx have a fantastic record. They're 26-7 on the season. Dream are just 12-23. Last night on Monday Night Football, San Francisco 49ers all over the New York Jets, 32-19. And I heard this morning, Bonnie, that is, I guess, I'm not sure if I heard it correctly, but I think that's the first time ever a NFL game is finished with a 32-19 final score.
Hmm.
They call that a scoregami.
Yeah, 32 is a little unusual,
a
right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then 19.
Scoregami.
That's what they call it. So there's that. Let's see. High school football, West Fargo Horus is going to be taking on Minot North Sentinels on Friday night on our sister station. Kickoff set for 7 p.m. And then James and I will be on our way to Duluth to watch the MSUM Dragons take on the University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs. Game coverage for that one with James and myself will be set for 2 p.m. WDAY Radio, they will have Spuds football on Friday night as they host Bemidji. Kickoff set for 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, Larry's on a little bit of a road trip. They will the Concordia Cobbers will visit Pacific Lutheran. Kickoff will be set for 3 p.m. So Larry's going to be traveling out west. And tonight, you can tune into Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty and myself. We're going to look back at the weekend of college football, plus Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks are in the West Division Championship Series, and we'll preview game number 2. It'll be in Winnipeg on Wednesday.
All right, checking out your forecast. Sunny and warm the next several days here. Look for hazy sunshine. There's a little smoke from Canadian wildfires that will impact our region at times today. 87 for the high, south winds 5 to 15, a low of 60. Hazy sunshine tomorrow, 87 once again, with northeast winds 5 to 10, 64 the overnight low. Thursday's going to be a hot, windy day. Sunshine 90 for the high, winds southeast 15 to 25, with even some higher gusts than that. Right now it is clear here. We have 64 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Our winds are to the south-southeast 10 miles an hour. It is 5:09. We're going to get you updated on your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and a question of the morn coming up. Tuesday morning, 5:14. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out with us. Bonnie and friends, WDAY Radio. You're the friends. I'm Bonnie. He is Jace Denman. We appreciate you being here. We've been having discussions in the background about the body cam footage was released yesterday showing NFL player Tyreek Hill being detained prior to the game on Sunday. And, you know, we'll talk more about that. But I encourage you guys, if you're on your computers or your phone or whatever, look up that video. We'll talk more about that coming up today, because at first I thought he was, like, innocent, but it didn't look like he was being 100% cooperative in the video.
No, there's always more to the story. And when you see the body cam footage, it pretty much puts what happened in its mm-hmm. proper context there. So, you know, it's one of those things where could it have been de-escalated a bit? Sure.
Yep.
But at the same time, is Tyreek at a press conference after the football game being 100% honest with what happened? Not exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, he's I've seen worse in a sense videos and stuff when we had training videos and things like that. But at the same time, this is something that should have. I think everything could have been resolved and gone forward had Tyreek not necessarily had to have his window completely down, but I mean, he probably could have, you know, at least had it halfway down. I mean, his excuse that he didn't want people to see that it was him getting pulled over. If he still, if he just simply has the window down, I think he gets his ticket and he gets
to the
stadium.
Don't violate the laws and you don't have to worry about people recognizing you. But I encourage you guys to watch that video. We'll talk more about it. Let's talk about a lawsuit. The Dolphins have spoke out about it. Much more coming up here on Bonnie and Friends. Our question of the morning, we want to know what food won't you try and why? Lots of great responses coming in on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page. You can give us a call 701-293-9000 or email us studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. 521, good Tuesday morning. Welcome. Thanks for being here. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We are Bonnie and Friends. You're the friends. Ty Schoenert in the WDAY Radio News Center. He'll be joining us coming up at 5:30. I drove through the I-94 construction project. They're doing work during the overnight hours between Highway 336 and about, I don't know, the Red River Bridge, A Street and Moorhead. Yesterday, I got lucky. There was no work being done today. They were working, but it was fine. There was a couple semis in front of me, and you could go, I think it was 45 was the posted speed. So it was fine, but they're making really nice progress. The when it opens up for the day and the part you get a drive on, it's smooth. Well, I would hope so.
Otherwise, what's the point of the construction?
They're nice job out there, MnDOT or contractors, whoever's doing it. Well, sometimes things don't get exactly done right, and you still have a dip and a bump here and there. But
it's true.
So they're resurfacing the road. It's supposed to be a 3-week project. They started last Tuesday between, I think, 7 p.m. and 6 a.m. overnight hours.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making progress, but there's still quite a bit left. So watch out for them as you travel.
Overnight hours. I like how your overnight hours start at 7.
Well, night hours, I guess, whatever you want to call
them.
Turn
Bonnie's sleepy time.
Maybe they could wrap things up by like 2 so I don't have to drive through it. And I almost avoided it yesterday, but had I avoided it, I wouldn't have realized that they weren't even working where I needed to get through yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But today they were back. But it was fine. The first day was not fine. That's when I got stuck on the ramp waiting for like 7 minutes. But it's progress. You guys are doing a great job, but everybody who's traveling through there, just pay attention and watch out for them. It's always more dangerous when they are doing their work at nighttime. All right, I thought we were all eating the sushi, but apparently not, because our question of the morn, what food won't you try and why?
Like, come on. I mean, there's a bunch of them that it's cooked fish, all right? So, I mean,
not a bunch.
Yes, there is.
Cooked shrimp or cooked crab sticks.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the shrimp rolls have shrimp or crab in them.
Those are the only ones I'll eat. But I thought everybody was eating the sushi. According to a lot of you on our Facebook page, you will not even try sushi.
My folks, they're afraid of it or whatever, and I'm like, come on.
Well, tell them like me. You go for the crab or you go for the shrimp.
You go for crab or the shrimp, and then there's tempura shrimp. I mean, there's a bunch of different rolls. Even the eel is cooked.
But you eat the raw stuff too, though.
I mean, it's usually like a whitefish or a salmon. I'd have to look at some of the menus over like at Izumi is a really good place to go get sushi.
What makes you crave eel?
I don't know. Probably the eel sauce that goes with it.
See, and I thought that was real, but it's not. That's why I avoided things with eel sauce because I thought it was made out of eel, but it really isn't. I had to Google that.
It's not.
But do they have eel? Like you can get eel?
Yeah, it's a little barbecued eel.
No. I don't want the eel either.
It's fine. It's fish.
But
if you like fish, everybody's like, oh, I won't try sushi. And I'm like, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean,
Mary says a fish is meant to be cooked. Gail says sushi, lutefisk, and oysters. Those are foods she won't even try.
Lutefisk sounds awful. Oysters, my folks.
Some people love lutefisk.
Oysters, I mean, in my family, you know, they had quote-unquote oyster stew, which there's nothing stew-like about it. It's basically whole milk, butter, and oysters. I don't know how that is a stew.
But those are cooked.
In a sense, I guess it's cooked in boiling milk.
And you can get some in the can, like, what are they? Smoked oysters.
Some people that eat oysters on the half shell at different restaurants.
I tried, though. Some people are really into that. I couldn't get past that.
Me, with as much as things are texture-wise.
It's definitely a texture thing.
I think some people said it just tastes like a big snot ball or something
like
that.
Are those people chewing that or they just swallow it?
I don't know, because certain drinks that we've had, like the carbonated waters that I don't normally like, I found out if I just chug them, then I don't taste the nastiness.
But if you're going to eat the oysters off the half shell, I mean, and they're expensive, I think. Like, why would you just want to swallow them? If you're eating them, shouldn't you like them and you chew them?
You would think. I mean, that's how I like most of my food. I like to be able to chew it and enjoy it.
Taste
even though,
it.
Even
you
though,
to,
even
taste
though,
your food. Don't inhale everything.
Well, I have to slow down for that. But
some people are like that. They just inhale.
Maybe
it.
They just need the oysters for other reasons.
I guess. Aphrodisiacs. All right. What food won't you try and why? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. Give us a call. 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Yeah, I thought I was one of the last to the bandwagon with the sushi. But like I said, I will eat the stuff with shrimp or crab that's mm-hmm. cooked. I will not touch anything else.
And also,
those I like.
Also at Izumi, they've also got like teriyaki and curry. They've got udon and soba noodle in a soup. Different entrees that you can have. It's not all sushi. They've got plenty of them. Some of them are vegetable rolls. I mean, to make it worth your money when you go to Izumi, you get the chef specialty rolls, because those are like 15, 16 bucks a piece. Some of them are 12.
Is that when they have like the raw fish or meat laying? They look pretty. Like, they look lovely.
Why are you guys so afraid? It's raw fish. It's just big piles of raw fish. I mean, I will not eat sashimi because that is just the chunk of raw fish. So that's okay. Like a chunk of salmon. That is, instead of being like wrapped up with seaweed and sushi rice and other vegetables in the roll, and then they cut it up. It's just a piece of fish.
Yeah. Well, I think because of like undercooked or raw stuff, you can get like food poisoning.
Yeah, you can get that anywhere, Bonnie.
That's true too. But I think that's why a lot of us are afraid of. We don't want to eat raw. You're fish. Would you eat like a raw crappie or a raw walleye?
Just like take it out of the lake and just bite it? No.
Well, you got to scale it first or clean it, fillet it, and like
there's a whole preparation method to sushi. I mean, it's not like you're taking a fish out of the lake and just cutting it up, going here, eat it.
But it's the same. It's raw.
It's not the same.
Me and about eight other people Facebook page are right on board with that.
I mean, this one, let's see. This one's Godzilla roll. I've had that one. Cream cheese, whitefish, eel, crab meat, asparagus top with eel and spicy mayo. That's awesome.
Yeah, but the raw fish thing not the rice, and it's not the cream cheese and all
like
that stuff.
It's not like you've got something the size of a steak that's raw fish that you have to cut up and eat. It's little tiny pieces.
I know,
in there.
But it's not cooked. And so, therefore, a lot of us won't eat that because we don't want food poisoning or whatever.
It's
you're
not
get
about
that.
Food poisoning. You're scared to try it. I tried
it's
it.
Raw.
I tried it years ago, and you're like, oh, this is actually really good.
I'm sure it tastes fine, but a lot of us won't eat it because it's raw.
It's a mental thing. It's the same reason why I won't eat Rocky Mountain oysters.
I'm not going to eat food that somebody like didn't properly put away that's been sitting out all day because I don't want food poisoning.
That is not how they prepare sushi. They don't take a piece of fish and just let it sit out all day on the counter.
No, I'm sure they take good care of it, but the bottom line is
it's fresh.
It's still raw.
I understand that, but you can actually eat some raw fish.
Me and all my friends on Facebook are like, yeah, if I was starving and I'm on an island by myself and there's wolves howling and there's nobody seen to come rescue me, I'm sure I'll eat like grubs and raw fish. But until that day comes, I'm not eating the raw fish. You can have the raw fish yourself. I know a lot of people love the sushi, but a lot of us apparently don't. Bonnie goes lutefisk. It doesn't even sound appetizing. And there's people that love lutefisk.
Isn't it a very strong smell?
Oh yeah, it's they soak it in lye.
Isn't that? Don't you use lye for washing clothes or something?
Yeah, basically.
That doesn't sound like.
I know,
that.
But that's how they preserve it. And all the the Norwegians and those that love the lutefisk, some will even go to different feeds.
What type of fish is it? Is it actually is that the breed of fish?
Is it like a cod?
Or is it something else? And when you put it in the lye, that's what makes it lutefisk.
I don't know. Do I look Norwegian?
I don't know. You seem to know a lot about
well,
that.
I know
than
what
me
it is,
sushi.
And I tried to make it once in the. in the microwave, which they said you could do. But
no, that doesn't sound like a good
idea. And then it got
all
gelatinous, and it did not taste good. So at least I tried that cooked. It is 5:30.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. A Fargo man pleading not guilty to murder in the strangulation death of 59-year-old Jody Campbell in June. Campbell was found dead in an apartment she shared with 61-year-old Randall Duffy. Police say admitted to choking her during an argument over drugs. Investigators say he called police hours later, officers finding Campbell's body in a closet. Duffy is due in court on October 3rd. A crazy Minnesota man dying after the SUV he was driving in left the road, rolled, and hit a power pole, happening yesterday near Little Toad Lake in Becker County. 74-year-old Matthew Mess died at the scene. The crash remains under investigation. A 79-year-old Northwood man seriously hurt in a pickup semi-crash in Grand Forks County, happening yesterday morning at the intersection near Northwood. The victim taken to a hospital by ambulance. The trucker, 69-year-old Charles Bachmeyer of Northwood, cited for failure to yield. Fargo Police Department bringing back its traffic safety team. The team will patrol high traffic areas and respond to community concerns regarding speeding, racing, exhibition driving, loud mufflers, and other illegal behavior. A $750,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice assisting with the expenses of the salary and benefits of the traffic safety team's 6 officers over a 3-year period. Wildfire smoke from Canada and the western U.S. again causing issues in North Dakota. The smoke resulting in hazy skies across the state, along with breathing issues for sensitive groups like young children, the elderly, and people with lung conditions. The smoke will likely linger for the next few days. A local organization that serves individuals struggling with mental health, substance abuse, and those who are justice involved, closing its doors October 25th. Restore, Inc. Executive Director Kelsey Augustine made the announcement in a Facebook post, citing financial or fiscal circumstances as the reason. She says they're saddened to no longer be able to serve a population that's already underserved. Augustine says clients currently receiving battering intervention services, care coordination, and peer support will be transferred to another agency with as little disruption in services as possible. And Minnesota launching a new campaign designed to bring new businesses to the state. The Star of the North campaign, a joint venture between Explore Minnesota and the State Department of Employment and Economic Development. The nationwide campaign promoting Minnesota's strong business environment as well as its quality of life.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
5:34, checking out your forecast. We will see some hazy sunshine today. There is smoke from the Canadian wildfires, out west that will impact parts of our region. 87 for the high, winds south 5 to 15, 60 the overnight low. Tomorrow, hazy sunshine, again a high of 87, northeast winds 5 to 10. Thursday, sunny and windy, hot as well, 90 degrees. Winds south, southeast 15 to 25 with some higher gusts, 67 the overnight low. Right now we have clear skies. It is 64 degrees here at our WDAY radio studios. High top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the south, southeast 10 miles an hour. Welcome to town if you're here for Big Iron. And for all of you going out there, enjoy our crew. Much of our shows, The Coffee Club, Weather and Ag Radio, and The Jay Thomas Show will be broadcasting live from the Brenco Building. So if you're out and about at Big Iron, stop by and say hi to all of those. Big Iron officially kicking off 9 o'clock this morning, and we got a couple of big concerts out there. Lee Greenwood, one of the performers out there for Big Iron.
And there was another one. I don't remember the band. It wasn't one. Maybe it's more of a regional or a local band. I didn't recognize the name.
I forgot who the other one was.
Their band's name I thought was something kind of like a phrase, like two words or something like that.
Mm. Fun event, lots to see. Mm-hmm. I think they say Big Iron draws like 60,000 people. So,
oh, is that all? Seemed like it would draw even more than that.
That's a lot. 60,000. I think that's a lot.
I thought it was, like I said, I thought it was even more than that, to be honest.
Lots of stuff to see, lots of stuff to do, and you mentioned Lee Greenwood will be the big one. Home Free. Oh, Home Free.
Yeah.
You know Home Free.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. They were on one of those singing shows. And
I don't watch those singing shows.
Tyler Hubbard branched off on his own. The other singer.
That's Florida Georgia Line.
Oh. They're like that then. Sorry. Is it not Tyler Hubbard?
No.
Were they on Florida Georgia Line? Home Free, a cappella. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh,
look at that.
Adam Rupp, Tim Faust. But they're
never
good. They won the sing-off in NBC in 2013.
That was that a cappella one then.
I like them.
I've never
they're
heard
from,
them.
They're from Mankato.
Yes, he's so regional.
Yeah, like I like that. Yeah, but they're from there, but they're big time. Like, they've made it big. But so that's cool. Those of you going out to Big Iron can enjoy watching them too and listening to them. All right. Question of the morning. We want to know, what food won't you try and why? 701-293-9000. You can email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Jace is still angry that there's a lot of sushi haters out there. He's trying to convince me, like, oh, it's good. You can have this. You can have this.
You would be surprised. I mean, it's one of those things that's kind of, like I said, it's probably the same reason I don't like Rocky Mountain oysters, and I will not try them because I know what they are and where they're from. Now, there's different people that'll have different reasons for not trying sushi. People are worried about it being raw fish. Other people think that's gross. Why would you eat raw fish? I don't know. Like I said, I tried it when I lived in Tucson, and I've liked it ever since.
I bet if I didn't know what they were and somebody served me Rocky Mountain oysters, I would eat them and think they're good. But if I knew what they were ahead of time, then I'm good on that.
Yeah, we were out at my aunt and uncle's and on the dairy farm, and we had an opportunity to eat them, but I knew what they were. Everybody else, I think, in the family tried them, or my cousins that lived down on the farm, I think they might have eaten them and had no problem with it, but I knew what they were, and being a young boy, I was just like, I don't want to eat those, even if it's the different animals. That's no bueno.
Yeah, and we had to eat whatever we were served back in the day. Susie says she will not eat organ meat of any kind, never, ever. We, all the time, liver, gizzard, heart,
we had
chicken, beef.
We would eat liver. I know my wife likes chicken livers. My dad loved, like, the bar in town used to have, like, chicken gizzards.
Oh, yeah, like sitting in a jar up on
no,
the counter?
No, like the cooked ones.
Yeah, but a lot of bars will have, like, pickled eggs, and they'll have chicken gizzards or turkey gizzards.
Not the pickled ones. Like, they were cooked almost like you were having, like, little drumsticks or whatever.
They're
good
that way. My mom always made them. You deep fry them, bread them, deep fry them.
Dad loved those, so he'd eat those. I mean, I think I asked this the other day. Dad always called them kipper snacks or something.
I love kipper snacks. They're smoked sardines, basically.
Oh, okay. And but dad likes those, too. I'm not a fan of those.
And I chuckled because I like them a lot. Bobby on our Facebook page said sardines, just a hard no. Bobby will not eat sardines. And I'll eat them. They're good for you.
I don't like, really, realistically, I don't like anything pickled.
They're not pickled.
No,
they're,
I'm saying in my as far as something I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Pickles, anything with, like, dill. I mean, I guess probably the closest I get is, like, when you have the jalapenos that are in the nacho jalapenos that are in that type of stuff, it might be vinegary-ish, but the vinegar and the dill that makes pickles, it's just that flavor just doesn't work for me. I just can't stand them.
I'm not a huge pickle fan, but I don't like dislike them like you. I do like the flavor of dill. I even have some herbs growing, and I love dill.
My sister at times, like for Christmas, she'll make this dip. It's got a lot of dill in it, but you take the bread and you cut up in the little cubes and you dip it in there. It's just kind of like an appetizer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can kind of eat that, but still, dill is just, it's one of those things I don't like.
I like dill. So I'll put, like, if I make, you know, fish, whatever I happen to be making, I'll just put dill on it, dill weed and cracked black pepper. That's one of my favorites. It doesn't taste like pickles, though, because there's no vinegar in it.
No, it's the dill, but I mean, the funny thing is that I'm not really a big fish fan.
I love fish.
I had a friend say, oh, I go to this one restaurant, and they've got really good fish and chips, and I'm like, nah, I'm not a big fish person, but I love sushi, so
that's weird.
I'm kind of an oxymoron.
See, and fish is my first grab. That's my preferred fish, you know, shrimp, crab, and then
mine is always chicken,
and then maybe a burger,
and of course tuna is chicken of the sea.
I like tuna a lot. And like I said, I like sardines and I like the kipper snacks. I like all that. But yeah, Bobby wants nothing to do with the sardines. Carrie says anything that didn't come from traditional rural farms. So pretty much anything hunted. Okay. And it might be the aspect of, I don't know, like people don't like to see animals killed, but I suppose you're still killing farm animals. But
yeah,
I
mean, does that mean, because a lot of times people go hunting on farmland for like pheasants and deer.
Yeah, she won't eat it.
You know, sometimes people just don't like deer meat. I know James and I have talked about, my dad, when he wasn't a big hunter because he was always working at the elevator. Mm-hmm. But like if you get some good deer steaks or something like that, we used to have Chislik back in the day.
What's that?
I don't know what cut of meat it would be, but it's like deer meat. I think it was deer meat. You probably do it with beef as well, but you have like, you know, have you have your little fondue pot. Mm-hmm. This is going to normally got cheese in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of cheese in there, there's oil. So yeah. you take this little poker thing, you put your meat on it, and you basically cook it in this oil kind of briefly or whatever. Then you pull it out and eat
probably
it.
Probably
right
like
away.
The back straps or the chops. My family called them chops, but my brother-in-law, he harvests his deer. He gives me the back straps. That's like the best part of the deer. All the time because he knows I love him.
Nice.
It's very nice of him.
No, so sweet.
Because he prefers just sausage. They grind everything up into sausage, but he always saves the back
straps. I remember one of my
me.
Roommates in college, they would go antelope hunting and they would make it into like those meat sticks. Like, yeah, I think you brought in some meat sticks before, right?
Yeah, my brother gets them done all the time.
He would have that done when they would go like antelope hunting out west in western South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And those were fantastic. Really awesome to have with a beer.
Yeah. My brother-in-law also does goose jerky. I think goose is like a really there's Canada geese that people like to hunt.
We talked with James about this.
It's an acquired taste.
Have we talked about this with James?
I don't know.
Because I think James and Jeff Benda have talked about it, where geese, that there's kind of some different techniques you got to use to really get the best, most out of that wild geese. So.
Yeah, not a fan. I mean, I like deer venison, and I grew up eating everything because my dad and brother were big hunters, but I'm not a huge fan. Like, I think partridge is dry. I don't know.
Maybe you should get them when they're in a pear tree.
Duck, I don't care for. Goose, I don't care for. I'll take one in a pear tree. We want to know, what food won't you try and why? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Tuesday morning, 5:48. Good morning to you. Thanks for being here. Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We've got Ty Schoenert in the WDAY Radio News Center. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be along with your weather coming up about 6:05. And Big Game James McCarty joins us with your WDAY Radio Sports right around 6:10 this morning. Our question, Lauren, we want to know, what food won't you try and why? 701-293-9000. You can email us studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I grew up eating a lot of this, and I don't make it, but I probably would still eat it to this day. Doug, our trucking friend, says liver and onions, the smell makes him want to just, throw up.
Well, I mean, I was surprised when my daughter ate chicken livers and liked them. Number one, I know they're a little bit different, but I think it's been so long since I've had liver. I mean, obviously, it's probably going to be a different texture than, like, if you had a steak or any kind of other piece of beef. Because, you know, normally I think in, beef liver.
Yeah, liver and chicken liver, totally different tastes.
But at the same time, when you're making liver and onions, to me, the smell of that, I still like it because predominantly the smell that onions. I smelled was the onion smell. And I like, grilled or sautéed onions. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my mom used to make liver and onions all the time growing up. You can get it at some restaurants here in town.
I'm surprised nobody has said haggis.
Yeah, but
I don't even know what that is.
It's
Scottish
or
Irish, I think. I think it's some sort of, I don't remember if it's like one of the organs that's stuffed with something. It's not something that we eat around here. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. Savory pudding originated in Scotland, like you said.
Pudding.
it's made by mixing sheep's heart, liver, and lungs with suet. That's for birds.
Uh-huh.
Oatmeal, onion, and spices, and then cooking it in sheep's stomach. They cook it. I would eat that. It's cooked.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound pleasant.
Heart, liver, the lungs. Yeah, why are they chopping up the lungs?
Because,
the heart and liver,
because
fine.
They're doing that probably because at some point in time in Scotland, they needed to use every
everything
piece, of the animal. So they made something out of it that was, in their minds, edible.
I bet it tastes just fine. You can eat it boiled, baked, or deep fried.
I'm sure that the taste, the flavor of it is fine. I mean, maybe the texture is probably wonky.
They grind it up. It kind of looks, in the picture I'm looking at, it's kind of ground up. It looks like a ground beef almost. Some of us are braver. If it's cooked, like, but I don't know about the lungs part. They could skip that. Like lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But oatmeal, onion, spices, heart, liver. I don't know. That's weird. Your daughter like chicken livers, but because they're interesting. I mean, I ate plenty of them growing up. Beef liver, I mean, if I had to take one or the other, beef liver tastes much better, I would say, versus chicken livers.
Well, the chicken livers are usually like, they were breaded and deep fried, I think.
Mm.
Okay. And they have them at, what is it over in Bismarck is the closest
one. Oh, a restaurant serves them?
Yeah.
I've never had them that way.
They got the rocking chairs on the front step, and it's a southern
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel. They had them.
They
at
serve
Cracker
them
Barrel.
There.
Yeah.
Weird. My mom always did them. Like she would if she was roasting a chicken, she would just put them in there, you know, to roast along in the side of
the
gizzard and the heart. Yeah, just on the outside. So then you know the grease from the chicken or whatever and the seasonings. That's the way we always ate them. I guess I never had them deep fried.
I think the only time I've taken the extra parts of a turkey, I've kind of made those, and then I'll cut them up and put them in, like, for my dog. Figured she'd like them.
My mom always cuts up all that stuff, too, and puts it in her stuffing, her dressing.
Yeah, I guess some people do that, yeah.
Fry it up ahead of time, obviously, in onions and garlic and stuff, and mix it in. But, yeah, I mean, I grew up coming from the generation of my mom and dad, and their parents were, they used everything. I mean, we didn't have a lot of extra money, so everything, what do they say, everything but the squeal or everything but the oink we ate? Something like that.
I have not heard that saying before.
But I mean, organ meat, they say, isn't healthy for you, so like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How come? I don't eat, because it's like saturated fat and whatnot, there's a high amount of it and stuff, so I don't eat that way.
Haven't they said that about bacon?
Yeah, true.
See?
But it's delicious, and I eat bacon. Why does all the stuff that tastes so good have to be so bad for
you? Oh, just wait. Eventually, it'll come back around. It'll be good for you. You know how
that works. That's probably true. Everything in moderation also, like they say. What food won't you try and why? Give us a call. That's our question of the morn, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids, lutefisk because it looks and smells horrible, is what he says.
Well, and that's a key for a lot of foods is how does it look? How does it present? Because obviously if it's presented like it looks like something you're a fan of, like whether it's roast turkey, roast beef, hamburgers, whatever it is, if it's visually appealing to you, looks like other stuff you've had, and then, of course, obviously, does it smell good? I mean, if it smells appetizing, but if it smells wonky, you're just kind of like, meh.
And if it's something you grew up eating because you had to eat it, maybe you grew accustomed to it and you like it, you'll probably eat it later on versus something that you had an aversion to back in the day. 5:54, time now to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 5:56, you're hanging out with Bonnie and Friends. You're the Friends. I'm Bonnie. He is Jay Stedman. Thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Coming up 7:10 this morning, we're going to get details on the 5th Annual First Responders Appreciation Night at the Avalon Events Center, and that is taking place this Thursday. It's honoring Cass and Clay County dispatchers, police, sheriff, highway patrol, firefighters, EMS. We'll get more details on that coming up at 7:10. And then Harvest Hope Farm has their annual farm fundraiser coming up on September 14th. Lynn's going to join us at 8:10. We will also get details on that for you. So Jace doesn't like pickles, doesn't like cucumbers. There's some guy on TikTok who has become such a, I guess, viral sensation making a cucumber salad that people in all over the world are making this, and I don't even know what he's doing. I've watched the video. It looks like it's soy sauce and maybe rice vinegar and garlic. And
might be some sesame oil and some chili.
Yeah, I don't know what he's putting on it, but it's become such – TikTok.
Which video are we talking about, though? Because there's several people that have made it. I've seen other people make the viral TikTok salad. I mean, I saw one on social media that was – he's a dude that he makes stuff, and it's kind of – it's a weird – it's one of those, like – what do they call them? SMAR or whatever. Like,
oh, the ones that the sounds. So,
yeah, but I mean, it's a dude that always makes food and he's always cooking stuff. And he's an Asian dude, so I don't know if it's him, if that's the first one or not. But obviously,
this guy's from Canada. He's known as the Cucumber Guy. His name is Logan Moffat.
No, it's definitely not that guy.
And he's created such a buzz and has so many followers that over in Iceland, they're out of cucumbers because everybody is making this viral cucumber. It's caused a cucumber shortage. Like what?
Yeah, and I've seen other people. I'm not looking at that story, Bonnie. I've seen some people make it that way. I've seen other ones where it's a little bit smaller cucumber, and that looks like a different recipe.
They're
honestly just
cucumbers, people. Why are we dying to make?
Because
cucumbers?
Everybody's on social media and they see something and they want to try it because it goes viral. Yeah, this one, he's got like green onions in it and stuff too. I haven't seen that one. And sesame seeds.
But it's cucumbers.
Yeah, I mean, there's one I saw there's some like sesame oil, there's some soy sauce, there's some like chili powder or chili paste, and you shake it up. And the way they did it, they like, instead of slicing it up like he did, they took like a cucumber and they kind of made, you know, they use the chopsticks so you don't cut all the way through it, and you cut it one way and cut it back the other way, and it makes this cool kind of like little design on it, and then they soaked it in whatever sauce they needed, and then like, oh, that's wonderful.
I mean, whatever. They're just cucumbers. But the fact that they have a cucumber shortage in Iceland because everybody wants to try this viral TikTok recipe,
it's weird
to me.
Yeah, it's just cucumbers. I mean
they're fine. I have a bunch sitting in the fridge still that my sister gave me.
I've had some, you know, like on certain sandwiches. I can't remember if it was like one sandwich that had some thinly sliced cucumbers and like bean sprouts or some, what are the other sprouts besides bean sprouts? The little green ones. And it was like a bagel sandwich.
Alfalfa
and stuff.
Sprouts?
Something like that. Something almost kind of hippy-dippy veggie-like.
Fine, but I'm not going to rush to like Hornbacher's and snatch up all their cucumbers to make this. It's a little goofy, but to each his own, I guess.
Yeah.
We are WDAY Fargo. Good morning to you. It is 6 o'clock.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. A Fargo man pleading not guilty to murder and the strangulation death of 59-year-old Jody Campbell in June. Campbell's was found dead in an apartment she shared with 61-year-old Randall Duffy, who police say admitted to choking her during an argument over drugs. Investigators say he called police hours later, officers finding Campbell's body in a closet. Duffy's due in court on October 3rd. A crazy Minnesota man dying after the SUV he was driving left a road, rolled, and hit a power pole, happening yesterday near Little Toad Lake in Becker County. The 74-year-old Matthew Mess died at the scene. The crash remains under investigation. 79-year-old Northwood man seriously hurt in a pickup semi-crash in Grand Forks County, happening yesterday morning, intersection near Northwood. The victim taken to a hospital by ambulance. The trucker, 69-year-old Charles Bachmeyer of Northwood, cited for failure to yield. The FAA awarding $24 million to North Dakota to fund air improvement projects at three airports in the state. The money going to Hector International Airport in Fargo, Bismarck Municipal Airport, and Minot Municipal Airport. It will mostly be used to reconstruct paved taxiways, but some of the money will go toward the expansion of Hector International Airport's terminal. No word yet on when the work on that will begin. Fargo Police Department bringing back its traffic safety team. The department will patrol high traffic areas and respond to community concerns regarding speeding, racing, exhibition driving, loud mufflers, and other illegal behavior. A $750,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice assisting with the expenses of the salary and benefits of the traffic safety team's 6 officers over a 3-year period. Wildfire smoke from Canada and the western U.S. is again causing issues in North Dakota. The smoke resulting in hazy skies across the state, along with breathing issues for sensitive groups like young children, the elderly, and people with lung conditions. The smoke will likely linger over the next few days. Minnesota launching a new campaign designed to bring new businesses to the state, the Star of the North campaign, a joint venture between Explore Minnesota and the State Department of Employment and Economic Development. The nationwide campaign aiming to promote Minnesota's what they claim strong business environment as well as quality of life.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
6:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with a check on our forecast.
What's happening? Tuesday morning.
Yeah, Big Iron kicks off today, and it looks like you're serving up a nice forecast.
It is. Yeah, not too bad. A little smoky and hazy, but I mean...
Did you notice? I didn't notice when I came in. I know it's in the forecast, but did you notice the smoke out there when you came in this morning?
It's dark.
Well, you can. Do you have a nose? Can you smell?
I can't smell.
Oh,
no.
Great.
No, you can tell. Smell it's all upper level, so... You must have a strong sense of nose.
Bonnie is on another level than us. That's why, Dean.
Yeah.
She's like a cat.
I know, right?
I hear and smell everything.
That's most mothers.
Not everything.
That's most moms. And that's for sure. Well, we've got a few light showers on radar right now. Stretching generally. I mean, these are very, very light from Lisbon down through Oaks and Ellendale. Moving due eastward, so most of that's staying south of the 94 corridor. There's a little bit more out to the west, but those will be diminishing. And we'll be left today with some hazy sunshine. Currently, we're in the upper 50s to lower 60s across the area. And again, that hazy, smoky, filled sky as we head into the afternoon. So we'll just call it partly cloudy with hazy sunshine. Highs today in the upper 80s with a south-southeast wind at about 5 to 15. So not overly windy. And again, just a little hazy sun out there. And then tonight we'll see some high clouds and we'll drop down into the upper 50s to near 60 with light winds out of the west-northwest. And for Wednesday, winds turn to the northwest as a little boundary slips into the area. That'll only knock a couple degrees off of our temperatures back into the mid-80s. But we do warm up by the end of the week back into the upper 80s to right around 90 degrees. So some very warm temperatures. Some will call it hot. As we head into the rest of the week. Now, the weekend does hold a chance of at least an isolated shower or thunder shower. I'll let you know when we're expecting that and what the temperatures look like for the upcoming weekend as well after the bottom of the hour. But a few light sprinkles this morning, but again, those are diminishing, so nothing to worry about.
Nothing this afternoon. My niece and I, a lot of times my favorite people in the world are up late, so when
right.
I get up, we're texting. So I'm texting my niece today because her daughter plays tennis in Detroit Lakes today. And I said,
She'll be fine.
I said, it's supposed to be nice. She goes, yeah, but it was supposed to be nice when we were in Fergus Falls 2 weeks ago. And then
it rained.
It was like a 10% chance of rain.
And it rained
day.
Just over them.
Yup.
It didn't wash them out, did it?
Well, we had like an hour and 45-minute delay because of the rain. It was light rain, but it was enough to, you
right.
know,
for tennis,
yeah,
you can't play in that.
But so this afternoon, there's
rain
in Detroit Lakes?
They'll be fine.
All right.
A better fine than last time.
I blame Justin on that one anyway. You might have even been
I was probably out
day.
Of town.
Probably. All right, our question of the morn. What food won't you try and why? A lot of sushi people and lutefisk people on our Facebook page here this morning.
You know, there's really nothing I don't think I won't try once. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I don't like it, I'll never have it again. Now, I've never had lutefisk, so I've heard it's the worst possible thing you could put in your mouth. So I think if I could get by the smell, like if I didn't throw up first.
Yeah, the smell is bad.
Is it?
Yeah, I tried to make it in the microwave 1 year and it didn't turn out very well.
Why do people eat it?
Some people love it because it's a Norwegian delicacy.
I understand
that.
Some
people grew up on it.
Yeah.
So for them, they
it's
absolutely
not a big,
love
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I'll try anything. Like, I've had sushi. I've had calamari. I've had rattlesnake. I've had shark.
I thought you were going to say rats. I'm like,
no. Mm. Well, that I wouldn't probably. I wouldn't have dog or cat.
Have you done? No, that you knowingly have. Have you done Rocky Mountain oysters before?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you like them?
I did.
I said, if somebody said, here's some Rocky Mountain oysters, I probably would be like, no, I'll pass. But if I didn't know what they were, I'd probably eat them and I'd probably like them.
Yeah. Oh, you've never had them?
Uh-uh.
No?
Mm-mm, not to my knowledge, no.
Okay. See, I went to a Rocky Mountain oyster and I didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're kind of chuckling because they're watching me eat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, man, these are pretty good. Yeah, those are bull's nuts. I'm like, what?
I bet they are good. I knew what they
were before. So when we had them at my aunt and uncle's farm, I was like, no. being it was one of those weird things like, oh, I'm a guy, I know what they are, I know where they're at, you know, I don't just didn't have any interest.
See,
now,
in them, I don't
dude.
Know if I'd try them again. They weren't bad, but it's yeah. nothing like that. Oh man, those are great. If I gotta like, have
like,
them
like,
again.
Like you, Dean, if I would have been at a point where I didn't know what they were,
right.
and they're like try one, I probably would have. But since I knew what they were before they were yeah. an option for that meal that time, yeah. I didn't, no.
How about
I
just, you?
What wouldn't I? Well, anything. I like. We talked about sushi, and he's getting mad because there's a lot of us saying sushi. I'll eat the shrimp and the crab. I won't eat anything that's raw, like the raw fish part of it, just because I don't want to get sick. There's a chance.
Well,
there's a chance for any restaurant.
There's a chance of anything. I mean,
body.
Look at the listeria and the lunch meat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
and
scary
the eggs.
Too.
Yeah, so yeah, that's you just scary. Never know.
701-293-9000. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
This is Adele.
Hi, Adele.
I won't try chocolate-covered grasshoppers nor snails.
Ooh, snails, yeah.
They're not bad.
Snails?
Have you had them before?
I've had them before. They're not that bad. I've never had chocolate-covered grasshoppers.
I've tried the chocolate-covered
really?
Grasshoppers. Yeah. Yeah, they had them at the fair, Big Iron, many years ago. Some vendor had them, and I tried them, and they were fine. But snails, if we call them escargot, would you try them, Adele?
No, no.
Because you know what they are, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Adele?
My mother tried them once.
Oh, she did? And she told
I guess they were okay. I don't remember too much what she said, but
okay. Are you a lutefisk eater?
I've tried it a few times. I should try it a bit more. I don't know what to think of lutefisk. I'm kind of neutral on that one.
Okay, so you're not Norwegian and didn't grow up eating it or anything?
No. I have some Swedish blood, but that didn't get accented too much in the family.
Okay, interesting. Adele, thanks for listening and thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a question for you guys.
I don't know
how do you get a famous singer to call into the show?
We're big time.
We're a big deal. Yeah,
you guys are.
That's why we get Adele.
Adele listens to your show.
And she's so good at hiding her accent, too.
I was going to ask her to sing a song, but I didn't want to embarrass her.
We are rolling in the deep this morning.
You are rolling in the deep something.
Definitely getting deep now.
Yeah, because you're here. It always gets deep when you're around for the ride here. It is 6:10. We're going to get you updated here on your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports.
6:14, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James?
Last night, only one volleyball match in the Metro, West Fargo High, sweeping Moorhead High in Moorhead. It was three close sets, 25-23, 25-21, and 25-18. The Twins are in free fall mode, and not in a good way like John Mayer sings about. At least his remix.
Tom Petty.
Well,
Tom
it's
Petty's
his remix
original.
Of it, yeah. Tom Petty. I'm young,
I'm
man.
Like, I'm like,
young.
John Mayer covered Free Fall? I had,
yeah,
did
he
not
did.
Know that.
But, yeah, it was Tom Petty originally.
At least you admit
my
to
age.
That.
My age.
That's okay.
Twins fall to the Angels 6-2 last night, now losing four straight games. They've lost, just a lot of games, okay? Five, yeah. Let's get over that. Kyle Farmer had a solo home run. Carlos Santana drove in a run. Twins, Angels again tonight at 6:40. Pablo Lopez gets the nod. Twins currently hold a three-game lead over Detroit, Boston, and Seattle for that final wild card spot. After scoring the game's first run last night, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks would give up 10 unanswered runs and lose 10-1 to the Winnipeg Goldeyes in Game 1 of their West Division Championship Series. Orlando Rodriguez tagged with a loss, giving up five runs over 2 1/3 innings of work. Only Redhawk to drive in a run was Drew Ward in the bottom of the first. And that series will now shift to Winnipeg on Wednesday evening with first pitch at 6:30. The Goldeyes currently lead the best of three series, 1-0. This evening, the Minnesota Lynx are visiting the Atlanta Dream. Tip is set for 6:30. Game coverage available on NBA TV. The Lynx, one of the top teams in the league at 26-7, while the Dream are 12-23. We do have a boatload of athletics on our family of stations as well this weekend. First, you're going to have Spud Football Friday night as they host Bemidji. 7 p.m. is kickoff of that one. And Larry will not be the play-by-play for that one because Cobber Football is heading to Pacific Lutheran on Saturday. That is in Washington State. 3 p.m. is kickoff on Saturday afternoon with Larry on the call for that one. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30 with Jason and I right here on WDAY Radio. We'll break down this past weekend of college football and We'll discuss the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks in the West Division Championship Series.
Now, did you watch, he's our sports guy, so I'm guessing you've watched the video that was released regarding the Tyreek Hill, I guess, being stopped by police. Did you watch the video?
Yep.
So yesterday we thought, the way he was talking, it was released really early, too.
I don't know.
Usually I thought there's a longer delay.
Well, Miami PD was very forthcoming. They wanted to be very transparent about the stop. So it's if there's nothing kind of wonky going on, it's kind of in the best interest of everybody if that body cam footage comes out right away. Because if you don't, then there's a lot of he said about what happened. And obviously when the body cam footage comes out, then everybody can view it and make their come to their own conclusion.
Because, I don't know, we do have an officer that was put on administrative leave here, and the way Tyreek Hill was talking, you thought that he was totally innocent, the way his mom raised him, it's like you keep your hands on the wheel, you listen, 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 but then when you watch the video, it doesn't exactly show, like, he wasn't 100% cooperative with the officers.
Correct. The thing that threw me off, though, was when you know there's multiple officers there and only one was put on leave, because usually in an incident like this, if it's standard protocol, you would have either none of them or all of them put on at least while the quote unquote investigation goes, whether it's for a day or a week or whichever.
I'm still
so the fact that only one officer was got me a little bit uneasy about the body cam footage when it would be released, and then when we see the interactions, as you said, Tyreek, you know, not 100% cooperative,
kind of rolling down the window,
right? Kind of, you know,
telling
playing
the
that.
Cop to quit banging on his window.
Kind of doing that charade. But then when he goes to roll down the window again halfway and the officer just says, all right, enough with this, and just opens the door and rips him down to the ground, then you're like, oh, okay, all right.
Well,
right.
I mean, and it's just, I'm still trying to kind of digest it in a sense that Tyreek was not being 100% cooperative. That's plainly obvious.
Mm-hmm. Even though he said he was.
And so to have him exit the vehicle, that seems to be reasonable. But I guess maybe the reason that one officer maybe, and I don't know which one out of the three is the one that actually is on administrative leave. And now part of that is just because they do a quick internal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it might just be standard protocol. Like if there is a shooting, an officer involved shooting, a lot of times the person will be on administrative leave while they investigate it, and then once everything's determined that it was a good shoot or a bad shoot, you know, then obviously if everything was fine, the officer will come back on duty. But this one, maybe because instead of opening the vehicle's door and having him step out of the vehicle and giving him the opportunity to do that, they just kind of pulled him out of there. Maybe there's something with that, but It seemed as though you've got two different kind of stories, and obviously everybody out there sees the truth when we see the body cam footage.
And I think that's why they released it so quickly, because Tyreek has been telling a different story here. Yeah. But we'll see. Even the team came out in support of him, and they had seen the video at that point. The Dolphins said they were saddened by what they called overly aggressive, violent conduct of Miami-Dade police officers. And then we have his attorney, agent, talking about a potential lawsuit against the police department, too. So we'll see where it all goes. And, yeah, we don't know which officer has been put on leave. Perhaps it's the one that pulled him out of the vehicle.
That's the one that maybe I could see them wanting to kind of make sure that his actions were justified. But a lot of times officers are not going to really play with you when you don't roll down the windows. I mean, I've seen enough social media videos where the person being pulled over is not being cooperative, and they've got the window. They won't even barely put it down, and they're being, passive aggressive at the officer. And they're also saying that, look, you know, sometimes it's those sovereign citizens. It'll be like, well, I'm not driving somewhere. I'm traveling, and therefore the Constitution says I can do it, rather than providing their insurance and registration and their driver's license, et cetera. So there's different situations, and obviously, if you keep testing the police officers, stuff like that can happen. But it seemed like overall, the situation escalated quickly on both parts.
Yeah. What do you do when a cop pulls you over? You pull over, you roll your window down a little bit, and you have a discussion, especially if it's nighttime, I can see. But this was broad daylight, and he kept rolling it back up and telling him not to bang on his window.
Yeah, I had a situation when I remember I got like my second ever like speeding ticket. I remember sitting in the highway patrolman's car, and you're just, you know, you got pulled over doing like 67 or something, a 55, and you're just kind of like, you know, he knocked it down to 65 and a 55 because I was polite and I did everything he asked. But granted, this was like, you know, 40 years ago, well, 30 years ago, whatever it was. But it was a long time ago, but it just...
Would you ever challenge a cop, like, right away? Like, don't be doing... I was like, I wouldn't. I would pull over, and you're hoping that you're not going to get a ticket for whatever your violation. I'm certainly not going to argue with a cop about something and get in his face and tell him to stop banging on my window.
No, I mean, if you comply with what they're asking, and when it's not usually too unreasonable, all they wanted was the window down.
And the officer telling him to roll down the window, in that video that we see, he was being respectful. So there's more to the story than... And initially believed, and we only had Tyreek Hill's story at first, but now the video is out. So we'll just see how everything ends up panning out here in this whole situation. This is an interesting story. A governor saved a man who was taking part in an eating competition, gave him the Heimlich, and then the guy, well, he didn't stop the competition. He kept competing even after choking. We'll have details on that coming up next. 6:24 Tuesday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. Oftentimes you'll see food eating competitions. A lot of times they are surrounded around, you know, community festivals or fairs or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So depending on where you're at, I mean, around here, you might like be doing corn dogs or chicken turkey legs or something like that. Out on the East Coast.
Corn dogs could be dangerous because they got those sticks in them.
Well, not the sticks, but you can choke on the hot dog. But so, I mean, there's the chance that somebody can choke. Yeah. Out East, what's the big food? Lobster rolls.
Lobster.
Okay. So this was in New Hampshire. One of the contestants started choking while they were trying to wolf down as many lobster rolls as they could. And whoever could get done the most down in a set amount of time would be the winner. Well, a guy started choking. New Hampshire's governor, Chris Sununu, was there, jumped into action, gave this guy the Heimlich maneuver, gave him like four or five thrusts, they say, and he finally managed to dislodge the part of the lobster roll that the guy was choking on.
The lobster.
The weirdest thing about the whole thing is the guy continued, like right after that, like he almost died. Like if the governor or somebody didn't jump into action to give you the Heimlich maneuver, you could have choked to death and died. And the guy, right after, you know, he's okay, he's going to be okay, you know, the governor dislodged it, gave him the Heimlich. He continued to take part, the competition resumed, and he continued to wolf down another seven lobster rolls.
Yeah, but did that one that he had to hork up that one piece of lobster, did that one count?
I don't know.
Did he win the contest?
I don't think he
did. How did he place?
I don't know. They say he ate seven more after that.
Well, they're delicious.
I mean... Like, really? Wouldn't you think you'd be rushed out over the whole thing? Like, oh my gosh, I almost choked to death. Thank gosh, goodness, the governor here saved my life. Yet I'm going to eat enough. I'm going to continue to take part in this competition.
Look, he's a winner. He's not going to quit.
Well, he's a winner because he's still alive, thanks to the governor for that. No, yeah. The guy lost the contest. I'm reading through it.
So is all for naught.
He's vowing to do it again next year.
What, choke or try and win?
Try to win. Doesn't that strike you as odd? Like,
it's a little bit odd, yeah. Like, although I told you the story the other day about me choking on a lifesaver and my grandma giving me the Heimlich.
It's scary anytime you're
choking.
It
is, but she washed off the lifesaver and gave it back to me. And
I ate it. That's kind of funny. Like, who does that, Grandma?
Grandma. Because it was good. I mean, it wasn't all chewed up. And
she didn't want to waste good candy,
I suppose. I didn't want to waste it either. You know.
There is, I saw this story yesterday, too, the world's first combined whole eye face transplant. There was a lineman who got shocked while working on an electrical line.
Yeah.
He's from New York, and his face was just horribly disfigured. He almost died. He was in a coma for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a what was it called? A bionic arm. Is that what you would call it? It's bionic arm?
Artificial
arm. But he has a whole
prosthesis,
new face. They don't show a picture of what he looked like ahead of time, but it looks really good. I mean, obviously you can tell that he's had some type of, you know, medical or disfigurement due to an accident or something. One of his eyes is still closed at this point because that is the one in which they did an entire eye and they tried to attach it to all the nerves or whatever. And they don't think it's going to take the eye, but nonetheless, he has a whole new face, looks, you know, relatively good.
He doesn't, Did he lose his both of his eyes? I mean, is he blind now?
I think it's just the one eye, which they tried to give him, you know, an eye from a cadaver and then attach it, which they don't think that eye is going to work. But he said, nonetheless, he doesn't care because the researchers have learned a lot from this process.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so it's progress. So hopefully, you know, the next person or somebody, you know, 5 or 10 people down the line, they're able to have success with this procedure.
Yeah, and then we get one day closer to Nicolas Cage and John Travolta's movie Face Off coming to real life.
Now, I didn't even see that, I don't think. But I mean,
come on. How did you not see that? They switch faces and John Travolta's the bad guy and Nicolas Cage is the good guy? Or no, vice versa.
Yeah, I don't watch as many movies as you
and Ronnie. That was like back in the 90s or something.
Don't watch that many movies. This guy, the guy lost his the eye that's probably not going to take. He lost his eyelid, his nose, his lips, large volume of facial tissue. But the good news is they were able to, to use a face transplant. The only issue it looks like for the most part is that one eye didn't take. But
all the muscles in the face are actually working and he's able to smile and eat and everything like that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing because they just started doing that, the face transplant not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's they're continuing to perfect that and, you know, I would assume.
I wish they would have shown a side by side of this guy, like what he looked like ahead of time and what he looks like now.
But here's the thing, though, like the face that they used, obviously from someone that
it's not
going
to look like him.
No, because the bone structure and the structure of your face is different. So obviously the face that they use is going to technically look similar to the person that they got that was donated from, but it'll look different on that. On the recipient's body, I guess you would say. You know what I mean?
But basically, I mean, you're just taking the skin off of
a
cadaver. So, but you still have your bone structure unless
that's
it's damaged. So it should still sort of look like him.
Like the recipient?
Yeah, to some degree.
To some degree, but I think obviously there's going to be differences. So, I mean, it's a fascinating thing because if you're going to have the recipient, their previous, the way they looked, and the donor, how they looked before they passed away, and then the recipient with the new face. It's quite a medical procedure, obviously.
Well, nonetheless, too, strides made, and hopefully that eyeball transplant at some point will be successful because they've learned a lot of things, the researchers have, this procedure.
I think the biggest thing is how they are able to learn how to reconnect those nerves and every muscles and everything like that.
Yeah, and good for that guy for allowing them to do that. And he could have said no to it. All right, it is 6:31.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update of a Fargo man pleading not guilty to murder in the strangulation death of 59-year-old Jody Campbell in June. Campbell found dead in an apartment she shared with 61-year-old Randall Duffy. Police say he admitted to choking her during an argument over drugs. Investigators say he called police hours later and officers found Campbell's body in a closet. Duffy's due in court October 3rd. A Fargo man facing an attempted murder charge entering an Alford plea. An Alford plea is when a defendant admits the evidence against them is strong enough for a conviction, but they maintain their innocence. The charge stems from a shooting that happened last year at an apartment in downtown Fargo. 30-year-old Kyle Ochoa accused of shooting a woman 6 times. His sentencing set for November 25th. Former Griggs County Sheriff charged for tampering with a public record in his official capacity as a sheriff of the county. Michael Beaver accused of altering a document which originally showed he requested 3 officers for backup in an event in Cooperstown. However, the document provided by the Highway Patrol differed from the one provided by the former sheriff, which claimed only 1 officer was requested for backup across Briggs County. Beaver has been charged with tampering with a public record, a Class C felony, due back in court October 22nd. Second in Cooperstown. Presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is today. Former Doug Burgum campaign official Lawrence Trover says the Harris's polling is beginning to dip from her honeymoon period.
I think most people are coming to see where she stands on some of the issues and how she positions herself. And again, I think it's the heavy lift that she has is trying to balance this past progressive posture that she's taken over the last 20 years versus how she wants to be as a candidate now.
Lance Trover made the comments while speaking to CNN's Wolf Blitzer. Stay tuned for tonight's debate coverage. That's live. You feel free to tune on WDAY Radio. We'll be simulcasting as well with our sister station. And you'll have you have post and pre-debate show coverage from Jay Thomas, Steve Holstrom, and Scott Hennen as well. The FAA awarding $24 million to North Dakota to fund improvement projects at three airports in the state. The money going to Hector International Airport in Fargo, Bismarck Municipal Airport, and Minot Municipal Airport. It'll mostly be used to reconstruct paved taxiways, but some of the money will go toward the expansion of Hector International Airport's terminal. No word on when the work will begin. And an ammo plant in Anoka will be paying the EPA nearly $350,000 under a settlement announced last week. Federal Cartridge at Anoka, cited by the agency for producing lead and other emissions that exceeded federal government standards. The company also agreeing to install new filtration systems at the facility. The EPA says the settlement should reduce particle emissions by 1,700 pounds a year. Lead should drop about 400 pounds a year as well.
First with the news when you need to know. WYRadioNow.com.
6:34, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Well, we have a few light sprinkles on radar. It's just enough where if you washed your vehicle, it might just spot it up a bit. But they're diminishing as they get towards the valley, stretching now from about Lisbon, Oaks through Ellendale, moving eastward. Most of that staying south of the 94 corridor. But we could see a sprinkle or two here in the FM area before the sun or shortly after the sun rises. And then we're going to have a hazy kind of sky out there today. Similar to yesterday, we still have that upper level smoke pouring in from the west. And hey, at least it's not from Canada, eh? This is from the Pacific.
Oh, we're not blaming
Canada. This is from the Pacific Northwest. So we can blame our token friends out in Washington and Oregon for all this smoke. Yeah.
You getting any Funyuns?
And maybe some wildfires might be mixed in with that.
Maybe a little bit. High city in the upper 80s with south southeast winds about 5 to 15. Some high clouds tonight with lows in the upper 50s and light winds. And the winds briefly turn to the west northwest tomorrow as a little boundary moves through the area. That will only knock off a degree or two. We'll call it 86 tomorrow. Well, again, hazy sunshine. And then the winds ramp up out of the south for Thursday and Friday. That'll warm us up into the upper 80s. I just couldn't quite pull the trigger on 90. Mainly due, I think, when you get that upper level smoke, that will filter out a little sunshine. But I wouldn't be surprised either Thursday or Friday we touch 90. Yeah. And then Saturday will cool things off a little bit. Front moves through. Could trigger off an isolated storm or two on Saturday. Nothing widespread. If you have outdoor plans, go for it. And then Sunday, we're back up into the mid 80s, and then breezy conditions develop, and we're back into the mid to upper 80s for early next week. Oh, so I checked. Where's the tennis tournament today?
Detroit Lakes. Is there going to be a rain cloud right over the high school?
But so as this little upper level wave, what time is it?
4 o'clock.
Oh no, they're fine. Because there is a chance of storms from Alex towards the cities this afternoon. But DL's fine. They're north of that.
If not. Chasing you with my pitchfork tomorrow. Again.
Oh, did you lose your broom?
I'll find a broom just for you. If it rains again.
It won't. Don't worry.
Because I don't need a two-hour rain delay.
Yeah, I don't need to hear you nagging either.
And you know you're going to hear it. All right, I'm going to count on it that's not going to happen today.
All right.
6:37, we are going to get some national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
6:42, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty.
A little bit early, but this weekend we have a handful of games on our family of stations. First, on Friday night, right here on WDAY, you'll have Spud Football as they host Bemidji. 7 o'clock kickoff for that one. And Saturday afternoon, the Cobbers will be visiting Pacific Lutheran. 3 p.m. kickoff for that. Larry Knutson on the call for that matchup. On our sister station, the Flag, you'll have Friday night Under the Lights in North Dakota as West Fargo Horst, the Hawks, take on the Minot North Sentinels. That'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff with Jason and I on the call for that one. And then on Saturday afternoon, Dragon Football heads to the city of Duluth to take on the Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs. That'll be a 2 p.m. kickoff, a 1:30 pregame with Jason and I on the call for that one as well on our sister station, The Flag. Tonight, the Minnesota Lynx are visiting the Atlanta Dream as we get to the tail end of the regular season. Only a handful of games left in the regular season. 6:30 tip-off and game coverage available on NBA TV. The Lynx are 26-7 on the season. The Dream are 12-23. Last night, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks at Newman Outdoor Field scored the first run of the game in the bottom of the first inning and then would proceed to give up the next 10 unanswered runs, losing 10-1 to the Winnipeg Goldeyes in Game 1 of their West Division Championship Series. Orlando Rodriguez was tagged with the loss after giving up 5 runs over 2 1/3 innings of work. 5 of their pitchers would contribute, recording at least 2 outs for the rest of the game for the Redhawks, and their only run was driven in by Drew Ward. Series now shifts to Winnipeg on Wednesday with first pitch at 6:30. Goldeyes lead the best of 3 series 1-0. Minnesota Twins in free fall mode as they fall to the Angels 6-2 last night, now losing 4 straight and have lost 5 out of their last 6 games. David Festa gave up 4 runs over 4 innings of work and was tagged with a loss, while Kyle Farmer had a solo home run and Carlos Santana drove in a single run in the game. Twins, Angels tonight, 6:40. Pablo Lopez getting the nod for Minnesota, while the Twins currently hold a 3-game lead over Detroit, Boston, and Seattle for that final wild card spot. And rounding out sports here this hour, primetime sports tonight at 6:30 with Jason and I right here on WDAY Radio. We'll break down this past weekend of college football and look ahead to the Redhawks in that West Division Championship Series. What needs to happen for them if they want to continue their season past tomorrow evening?
Do you know what TV dinners are, James?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't a yuppie growing up.
I mean, I know you can still buy TV.
We had a budget.
Yeah. The only time we got TV dinners if my dad worked overtime in the mines, and then they would give him free. It was either free Red Baron pizza or free TV dinners. Well, he never ate them because he always brought his lunch, so he would bring them home. No. Otherwise, my family didn't buy them. But I don't think, yeah, you can get TV dinners, but don't you call them frozen meals nowadays more so than TV?
Yeah, they're called frozen, I would say, nowadays. But, yeah, like the Salisbury steak was big, or the, what do you call it, the country fried chicken.
The chicken
or
was good with mashed potatoes, Hungry gravy, man. Corn. Yep. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
The banquet pot pies, that's not considered but that's kind of that whole family of meals, in my opinion.
The funny part was the old TV dinners back in the day. Obviously, way back in the day, they were like an aluminum foil, then they kind of progressed to a different material. You can microwave them.
Because I think the originals you had to make in the oven. They came out in the 50s, right?
So, I mean, sometimes I can't remember if my grandmother used to keep some of those old containers. And
wash them.
Wash them and then put food in it and save, you know, freeze it or whatever.
So Grandma almost thought he would have done the same thing.
But I still remember the one specifically was like the 3 slices of turkey meat and gravy with the kind of sort of pseudo stuffing underneath it. There was a little mashed potatoes over here on this one side, and the other corner had either corn. I think it had corn, then in the middle it was like a quote-unquote brownie.
Cake
or whatever it was.
I remember the apple cobbler in those. Mm-hmm. Did you guys remember?
I haven't thought about a TV dinner like that for many, many years, because now they're just microwavable meals.
That's what I say. Well, they say today's National TV Dinner Day, and I think they just stick with, because it was on this date in 1953, Swanson sold the very first TV dinner.
Those, until you got to probably the Hungry Man brand, they did not have enough food in them. I don't even know how I got filled up on one of those.
But I guess if you're supposed to be talking serving size, it was actually pretty accurate. Sure. I delivered Meals on Wheels for about a full year. And the portion sizes, but that's what it is. It's like they've got certain, I'm like, I wouldn't even fill up one eyeball, as Grandma Amistad used to say. But that's the way it is. That's how you're supposed to have the portion control. But yeah, I just kind of thought it was funny, National TV Dinner Day, because I don't think most people call it that. But the fact that Swanson sold the first TV dinner in 1953, and how many of you were actually watching them right there on the TV tray that you had them on. We weren't allowed to eat in the living room.
Sports This Hour is brought to you by Pebble Lake Golf Club in Fergus Falls. They combine the beauty of nature and the challenge of a championship course. Book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
It was on this date in entertainment history. This former guitarist from Stevie Wonder actually started his own music career, started a 2-week run at number 1, and we're going to be telling you who that is in Music Flashback. That comes up about 6:56, but stand by. We're going to be heading to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1977, this singer released their second studio album. It's one of the best-selling albums of all time, and it still sells albums every single year. Find out who that is coming up next in Music Flashback. 1965, the Byrds began recording Turn, Turn, Turn. Unlike their first hit, Mr. Tambourine Man, members of the group were actually allowed to play instruments instead of session musicians.
The song topped the Billboard Hot 100 charts and became an international hit.
I guess I was thinking this was a different band that did this song.
Hmm.
There was not another band that did the song, was it?
Not to my knowledge.
1966, the Supremes started a two-week run at number one with You Can't Hurry Love. It was their sixth of 12 number one hits.
The Supremes were the most successful Motown group. They remained the most successful vocal group of all time. In fact, they were as popular as the Beatles in the mid-1960s.
That still amazes me.
It is impressive.
I mean,
no
because
doubt
when,
about
we
it.
We talk about, obviously, we do talk about the Supremes, but, I mean, the Beatles were, like,
huge.
The band to talk about back in the 60s. 1977, Meatloaf, the singer, not the Meatloaf, released his second studio album, Bat Outta Hell. It's one of the best-selling albums of all time, having sold over 43 million copies worldwide, and it still sells 200,000 copies a year.
Impressive. The first single, You Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth, failed to make the Billboard charts when it was first released. They re-released it the following year, and it hit number 39 on the Billboard charts.
Hmm. Bonnie, stop running in place. This isn't actually Flashdance right now.
Great movie.
1983, former Stevie Wonder guitarist Michael Cimbello started a two-week run at number one with Maniac. The song was used in the film Flashdance. It appears in an early scene in the film where we see Alex, played by Jennifer Beale, strenuously training in her converted warehouse.
Yes.
That's how Bonnie usually works out.
Sweat all over the place. She's running in place. I do. Cimbello originally wrote the song after watching a horror movie. The original lyrics were, "He's a maniac. Maniac, that's for sure. He'll kill your cat and nail it to the door."
What?
Probably wouldn't have been a hit. He tweaked the lyrics to fit the film's subject matter. Go figure.
Where did you find that tidbit of information?
Do a lot of research when I get ready for these segments.
He's a maniac. He'll kill your cat. 1988, Guns N' Roses started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Sweet Child of Mine. It was the group's first number one. The band's debut album, Appetite for Destruction, also contains several other hits.
Welcome to the Jungle, Paradise City. The album is the best-selling debut album of all time, beating Boston's debut album, which sold over 17 million copies.
Having a birthday today, Joe Perry of Aerosmith is 74. Aerosmith is the best-selling American hard rock band of all time. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And just a month ago, Steven Tyler announced that the band is done because his vocal cords are too badly damaged.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I mean, we all have to call it quits at some point, right?
Why are you looking at me like that, Bonnie? What are you trying to tell
me? You already retired once, but so now this is your new career. Nothing.
I guess I have to get my next career lined up.
No, you don't. All right. The fifth annual First Responders Appreciation Night is being held at the Avalon Event Center this Thursday. We're going to get all the details on that coming up at 7:10 this morning. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 7 o'clock.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update, which is brought to you by Summit Carbon Solutions. Visit summitcarbonsolutions.com to learn how this project is creating more economic opportunities for ethanol producers and strengthening the market for corn growers in North Dakota. A Fargo man pleading not guilty to murder in the strangulation death of 59-year-old Jody Campbell in June. Campbell found dead in an apartment she shared with 61-year-old Randall Duffy, police say admitting to choking her during an argument over drugs. Investigators say he called police hours later, officers finding Campbell's body in a closet. Duffy due in court October 3rd. A Fargo man facing an attempted murder charge entering an Alford plea. An Alford plea is when a defendant admits the evidence against them is enough for a conviction, but they maintain their innocence. The charge stems from a shooting that happened last year at an apartment in downtown Fargo, where 30-year-old Kyle Ochoa is accused of shooting a woman six times. His sentencing is set for November 25th. A 79-year-old Northwood man seriously hurt in a pickup semi crash in Grand Forks County, happening yesterday morning at the intersection near Northwood. The victim was taken to the hospital by an ambulance. The trucker, a 69-year-old Charles Bachmeyer from Northwood, was cited for failure to yield. Fargo police bringing back their traffic safety team. The team patrols high traffic areas and will respond to community concerns regarding speeding, racing, exhibition driving, loud mufflers, and other illegal behavior. A $750,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice is assisting with the expenses of the salary and benefits of the traffic safety team's six officers over a three-year period. The FAA awarding $24 million to North Dakota to fund improvement projects at three airports in the state. The money going to Hector International Airport in Fargo, Bismarck Municipal Airport, and Minot Municipal Airport. It'll mostly be used to reconstruct paved taxiways, but some of the money will go toward the expansion of Hector International Airport's terminal. The presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is today. Former Doug Burgum campaign official Lance Trover says the Harris polling is beginning to dip from her honeymoon period.
I think most people are coming to see where she stands on some of the issues and how she positions herself. And again, I think it's the heavy lift that she has is trying to balance this past progressive posture that she's taken over the last 20 years versus how she wants to be as a candidate now.
Lance Trover made the comments while speaking to CNN's Wolf Blitzer. Stay tuned for tonight's live debate coverage here on WDAY Radio. We have Jay Thomas, Steve Holmstrom, and Scott Hennin. All three will be giving you post and pre-debate coverage as well. That starts at 8 p.m. Central Time. Former Griggs County Sheriff charged for tampering with a public record in his official capacity as a sheriff of the county. Michael Beaver accused of altering a document, which originally showed he requested three officers for backup in an event in Cooperstown. However, the document provided by the Highway Patrol is different from the one provided by the former sheriff. That one claims only one officer was requested for backup across Briggs County. Beaver charged with tampering with a public record, a Class C felony. He's due back in court on October 22nd in Cooperstown. And an ammunition plant in Anoka paying the EPA nearly $350,000 under a settlement announced last week. Federal cartridge in Anoka cited by the agency producing lead and other emissions that exceeded federal government standards. The company also agreed to install new filtration systems at the facility. The EPA says the settlement should reduce particle emissions by 1,700 pounds a year, which, when well lead, should drop by about 400 pounds a year.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
.704, time for a quick check of on the weather. This is the one and only Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Good happy Tuesday to you.
Yes, happy Tuesday to you.
A few clouds around this morning. We've got a little upper-level disturbance moving into the valley here from the west. There's a few very light sprinkles on radar just west of the FM area and southwest. And moving eastward, again, a few sprinkles possible this morning. Then that'll move east into southern Minnesota, and we'll be left with hazy sunshine throughout the day. We're currently at 64 degrees, most everybody in the low 60s this morning. And with hazy sunshine today, we should reach a high in the mid-80s, some spots upper 80s, with a south-southeast wind about 5 to 15. Then tonight, we're dropping off into the upper 50s, and tomorrow, a little wind shift to the northwest, light winds, and that'll knock a degree or two off right around the mid-80s tomorrow. And then windy conditions out of the south-southeast ramp up for Thursday and Friday, with highs both days in the upper 80s. So a pretty warm week. If you're heading out to Big Iron, it's going to be a warm one. So come out and say hi to us. We'll be out there for Weather and Ag in Focus at 2 o'clock, and we'll be in the Morton Building. So swing by and say hey.
All right. Let's see. Weather's brought to you by North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, and right now, obviously, it's also time for the Tailgaters 2-degree guarantee. Dean, you said the high yesterday was going to be 86. And we're waiting to see how you did. Because
I apologize to the Long Island iced tea drinkers.
Once again,
I'm sorry. You know what? They're going to have to make new batches of Long Island because when they're not being used.
Yeah.
The high was 86 yesterday.
So 86. So that's nine straight weeks
But congratulations to the tap.
The beer drinkers,
the beer drinkers are happy.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So obviously, one thing I wanted to confirm with you: you said the live music outside is done.
Yeah, inside.
But
now
they're inside.
Inside on Fridays, right. Not Thursdays.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. Yep. All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
All right. So Dean was correct. That means you can celebrate tonight at Tailgaters with a $2 tap domestic pint. Your first one is $2. After that, they're just $4 each the rest of the night. So get to Tailgaters tonight to celebrate Dean's success, which obviously he's on a better streak right now on the 2-degree than he is on the 3-degree. And that first domestic pint is only $2, $4 after that. And you can enjoy live music each Friday night at Tailgaters, which is located at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo. Time is now 7:07. We got a quick check of your national news. Big game James McCarty's back with your WDAY sports update. And then when we get back from that, we're going to be joined by Gwen Kaiser to talk about the 5th Annual First Responders Appreciation Night. All that and more coming up next. 7:10, time for a check on the local sports scene with big game James McCarty.
Slow evening on the court. The only game within the metro for volleyball last night was West Fargo High at Moorhead High. And the Packers would take down the Spuds in straight sets, 25-23, 25-21, and 25-18. On the diamond last night, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks would strike first in the West Division Championship Series, and then they would give up the next 10 runs, falling 10-1 to the Winnipeg Goldeyes. Orlando Rodriguez tagged with a loss, giving up 5 runs over 2 1/3 innings of work. 5 other pitchers would contribute at least 2 outs out of the bullpen for the Redhawks, and the only run driven in by Fargo-Moorhead was by Drew Ward. Series will shift now to Winnipeg Wednesday evening at 6:30. Goldeyes lead this best-of-3 series 1-0. The Minnesota Twins would fall to the Angels 6-2 last night, now having lost 4 straight games. David Festa, one of the rookie starters for Minnesota, gives up 4 runs over 4 innings of work and was tagged with the loss. The runs scored were one by Kyle Farmer with a solo home run, and the second was Carlos Santana driving in a run in that loss. Twins and Angels continue that series tonight at 6:40 with Pablo Lopez on the bump. Minnesota currently holding a 3-game lead over Detroit, Boston, and Seattle for that final wild card spot. And rounding out sports here this hour, primetime sports tonight at 6:30 with Jason and I. We'll break down this past weekend of college football and look ahead as to how the Redhawks can extend their season in that West Division Championship Series tomorrow evening.
All right, 7:12, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Fantastic Appreciation Night coming up tomorrow night, honoring our first responders. And joining us in studio right now is Gwen Kaiser to talk more about it. Good morning to you, Gwen.
Good morning, Bonnie. Thanks for having me.
You bet. How did this all get started? The 5th Annual First Responders Appreciation Night.
Yes, actually, we started 5 years ago, and this was supposed to be just a small gathering to appreciate our first responders. And then supposed to start kind of in my backyard in Castleton. And then Bonanzaville picked us up, and so we were with them for the next few years, and now we're going to have a more formal sit-down dinner at the Avalon.
All right, and when we say first responders, who all does this cover? Local here in the Fargo-Moorhead area?
Yep, and all the rural areas surrounding Fargo. Also, the dispatchers, firefighters, paramedics, police officers, and their spouses and their children.
So all first responders basically in Cass and Clay County, it sounds like.
Yeah, correct.
And this is coming up, is it Thursday at the Avalon Event Center?
Thursday at the Avalon from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we're going to be playing musical chairs for the adults, a game of deal or no deal with our beautiful ladies that are all dressed up in gowns. And I brought a program here. We have 8 pages of local businesses that have donated prizes to these things. And we have like watches, necklaces, grills, those kinds of things.
I would imagine it's a pretty easy ask when it comes to showing support for our first responders when you're going to these businesses saying, hey, we're having an appreciation event. Do you have something you would like to donate to it?
That is correct. These guys have just been completely awesome. I mean, we've had so many businesses just step right up and say, yes, of course, we'll do this.
And like you said, you started in your backyard and you probably realized you didn't have enough backyard left, so you had to move to bigger venues. But
that's correct.
How many people are you expecting for the 5th Annual First Responders Appreciation Night?
We're thinking around 400.
Now, did people have to sign up ahead of time or they just show up or what's
nope, you just show up at the door and we'll get you in. And we're doing something different this year just to honor the people who have made this go for the last 5 years. I mean, we rely completely on donations. So they are invited this year. And so they can mix and mingle and say thank you in person to our first responders.
And when you say first responders, is it just the first responders or family members invited to this event also?
Their spouses and children will be invited. We're going to have our Tubs of Fun Bear out front, and we'll have face painting and tattoos and bubbles, lots of bubbles.
Mm, oh, kids love bubbles. So coming up this Thursday, Avalon Events Center, social hour begins about 5 o'clock.
Yep, correct. And then we'll start the dinner from 5:30 till 8:30. And we'll have games and music and other things in between. So things will start rolling pretty quickly. But anytime you want to come, you're sure welcome.
Now, who do you have doing the welcome speech? And you've got somebody singing God Bless the USA. Who's doing all that?
Well, we're going to just play God Bless the USA because okay. It's just one of those things we do every year. My husband was going to do it, but he's had some technical difficulties with his throat.
Okay. Who does the welcome speech then?
This is Adrian Kiefer. He is a firefighter in Castleton, and he's just done a lot of great things for the community, and he's part of our board.
How many people does it take to put on this event?
Well, we only have 6 people on our board, so it takes quite a while to put together. They've done a lot of footwork, just amazing people.
So anybody in Cass and Clay County, 911 dispatcher, police, sheriff's office, highway patrol, firefighters, EMS, you name it, all invited out Thursday to the Avalon Event Center here in town.
That is correct. We hope to see everybody there.
You bet. And looks like you guys are going to have a lot of great prizes as well.
Yep. We got some excellent prizes this year, and it's going to be just really fun. This is our first year playing Deal or No Deal, but you should see the gowns. They're just knockout.
And this is just... You just, in the goodness of your heart, just decided to start an event here for our local first responders.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Gwen, we thank you for coming in studio. Do you guys have like a Facebook page or a website or anything like that if somebody wants some more information or some way to get a hold of you?
Yes, we do. It's firstrespondersnight.com, and you're welcome to browse the website and see what we're all about.
Yeah, and I would imagine you've gotten the word out. You probably sent out emails, too, to the different agencies. So hopefully everybody's aware of it. And if they weren't, hopefully they're listening to Bonnie and Friends, and they'll show up for the event coming on Thursday because it's to honor you and celebrate you if you're a first responder here.
That's correct. And I have sent out some reminders to the area offices and agencies. And mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll remember that. And it is semi-formal. You can come in your uniform if you like, just you can dress up if you like. Just come as you are.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for what you're doing. We appreciate it. And thanks for coming on to get the word out.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
You bet. Again, this Thursday, the 5th Annual First Responders Appreciation Night taking place at the Avalon Events Center, 2525 9th Avenue South in Fargo. All first responders in Cass and Clay County. Family members invited to that as well. It is 7:17. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have the gentleman in from Carr's Tree Service, and they're pretty popular if you have any questions about your trees. And it seems like every time they're in studio with us, somebody has a question. So you're welcome to call in or email in with your question. They are certified arborists, and they know their business.
Exactly. So if you want to call in tomorrow, obviously you can. Otherwise, you can email us a question so we have them for them. Ready to go, but at Carr's, they follow science-based practices to help save your trees because they care. Mm-hmm. Don't miss this opportunity to learn and connect with the tree care pros at Carr's Tree Service. That's they have a website, carrstreeservice.com. That's Carr's with 2 R's. You can call them toll-free, 888-470-3355, or you can call them locally, 218-770-9791.
And don't forget, the big presidential debate is tonight, and we will be carrying that right here on WDAY Radio. ABC's pre-debate coverage begins at 7. The debate is scheduled to begin at 8 o'clock, and our sister station, The Flag, is hosting a watch party and debate coverage here at our studios if you choose to come in and hang out with them. GM Wheat approved. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel is standing by, and she joins us next.
7:20. Time to head down to the farm with Ag Director Miss Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fantastic. So good to hear from everybody here today. Hope you're doing well.
Are you already at Big Iron?
On my way. Going to be arriving soon.
Well, there's lots to see and do. Lots of people to talk to.
She is a featured performer at Big Iron, I think. Probably got like a couple speaking engagements already lined up.
Oh, good. At least you didn't say something like, you know, there's karaoke in the beer garden later, because that would be wild. But we'll see how that day goes.
Are you a karaoke person?
I like to refer to it as I can marry them and bury them. So if you need me for weddings and funerals, I have availability.
All right.
Oh, there you go. All right. What do you got going on this morning?
Okay, so first of all, if you're coming out to Big Iron, you can look at the construction equipment as well as farm equipment. Many farmers have payloaders, backhoes, track hoes, and so much more. So now you have an opportunity to look at even more Big Iron. Soy Foam is proudly showing off its new product. This is for fighting departments. It is free of the PFAS chemistry, and so it's soybean-based. Soybean Council here in North Dakota is sponsoring demonstrations at 10 and 2 o'clock. There's so many of our listeners who are part of rural volunteer fire departments. Stop. Check this out. This is probably something that's a good fit for you. And don't forget that tomorrow on Wednesday, September 11th, join me at noon in the Morton Building. If you're part of social media, a follower or a creator, want to stop and say hi and visit with you. So hope to see you in the Morton Building. Again, that's tomorrow, Wednesday at noon. Meanwhile, big news that's been happening in the ag departments these days, well, HB4 wheat, which is a drought-tolerant, genetically modified wheat variety, has received approval to be grown in the United States. Well, it doesn't mean it's happening next week. It's actually going to take several years until it's ready to roll. But we'll be the fourth country in the world to approve it. We'll be behind Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay. What this does is they took the genetics out of sunflower, a transcription factor that was isolated, and this helps to modulate the expression of some genes that for drought tolerance. Soybeans have long been known to be more drought tolerant than many crops, and so what they're able to do is use some of those genes expressed in the wheat to make it more drought tolerant. Why does that matter? Wheat's a primary food source across the globe, and so the more we can create a crop that will grow under adverse conditions, the more chance we have to continue to feed folks when they need it most.
So it sounds like a good thing for farmers and producers. For those that, because sometimes you'll see packaging and marketing like no GMOs. Should we be concerned about genetically modified foods?
You know, if we had named it something different, if we had just said that it was better for you in some way, shape, or form, genetically modified just sounds negative. But it's really not. What we're doing is making sure that those plant survivability is better, because in the long term, that allows us to have better yields. That leads us to have more food available for processing, because when you hear a farmer say, well, I feed the world, we actually just raise the ingredients to feed the world, because it's all the stuff that gets mixed together. And we've got a lot of things to face, whether it's disease or bugs, pests, and so much more. So when we say genetically modified, I don't get nervous about that. Even in the realm of talking about herbicides, folks are like, oh, but you douse it with glyphosate. No, we don't. I want you to envision taking your can of Coke, because half of you are drinking it already this morning. Take that 12-ounce can, dump that in a 5-gallon bucket of water, and spray it out over a football field. That's the amount of product that is being used on fields around this region. And we're using minimal amounts. We're spraying it in the right time frame. The plants have a breakdown time, if you will, in which to go through. Basically, that product works its way through the plant so that if there are no traces of it left in the plant anymore, it's fine. If you look at the list of carcinogens that are allowed by the World Health Organization, coffee has a higher carcinogen than most herbicides.
There you go.
Pardon my soapbox. I'll step
no,
down.
No, and okay. You did a great job explaining it, and I think it's important because you do hear people like, oh, I want to have something that's non-GMO. And like I said, you see it in the packaging and stuff, and I don't lose sleep over it either. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I don't need the scare tactics. And when I hear people say, well, it's bad for my gut health, do you know that? Have you actually had that conversation with a doctor? Because my guess is you probably haven't. Do you eat something that doesn't make you feel well? Well, yeah, ghost pepper sort of wrecks me. But if you think that gluten is something that bothers you, find out and adjust accordingly. But I'm not going to wholesale condemn a product or a part of an industry if I don't know all the facts and background on it.
But I saw a TikTok on it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Facebook is the most accurate thing ever created. I mean, come on. Anyway, okay, enough from me. Anyway, that also Colorado State University researchers are actually working on a novel biological herbicide for Palmer amaranth. Palmer is one of those plants that once it's allowed to go, it goes big. We don't have a lot in North Dakota because of our crop diversity, but once you get into states like Illinois, Palmer amaranth is already resistant to a multitude of herbicides in that region because it does change so quickly with its generations and adapts to its climate environment. Palmer amaranth, under the right conditions, so let's say like Georgia, can grow multiple inches per day. It has a stalk diameter of 3 to 4 inches, so it will stop a combine, and it can produce anywhere from 750,000 seeds to 1 million seeds per plant. So it's a problem, and we want to keep it at bay. Well, because of its rapid changes in genetic diversity, that's why researchers at Colorado State are looking at using a novel biological herbicide, something that Mother Nature provides in order to stop the spread of Palmer amaranth. So look at that, research being done in multiple areas.
There you go.
But, absolutely. Lastly, North Dakota Soybean Council has grants for teachers. I love to share anything that teachers can receive for free for their classrooms. And North Dakota Soybean Council has mini grants. So if you are any, whether you're elementary, middle school, or senior high, you can apply for these mini grants and you can bring curriculum and kits for kids right into your classroom. And this may sound like it's kind of a low-key thing for elementary kids learning how to make soy wax candles or crayons or other things that they can do. But it all helps combine math and science skills for students, and it teaches them some things about agriculture, especially when soybeans is a crop that we raise in this state at a heavy volume. And I think it's great for kids to find new opportunities. So if you as a teacher are looking to bring some of these mini grants into your classroom, you can reach out to the North Dakota Soybean Council to do so. They'll be a big iron. Or you can drop me an email, ag@slugfamily.com. You'll find me on X at BM Riedel, and I will gladly share with you how to reach out to the Soybean Council to get those types of things for your students.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure if they want a presentation in their classroom, North Dakota Soybean Council would be happy to come speak to their students as well.
Would love to. In fact, I have a speaking partner. She and I go do in-classroom visits for fourth graders. So if you're a school that wants to have us talk about agriculture, and we really focus on ag in North Dakota, which we can also do for Minnesota, but I would ask you to reach out because we love talking to kids and just helping them understand where their food comes from.
Now, you know, we got these grants here in the state of North Dakota from the Soybean Council to help kind of put some of these opportunities in classrooms. Are they doing similar events across some of the other states where it's not as agriculturally based? Like, say, you're out in New York or you're in Illinois. Well, Illinois is not probably a good example, but like Chicago, Illinois, like more like in the inner, you know, the cities as opposed to out in the rural areas.
Well, that's a great question. And yes, those councils in those states will reach out to all schools. And it's just a matter of who's able to, or who does want to bring that into their classroom or not. But you're right, whether it's any commodity group, corn, soybean, beef, et cetera, they do reach out to teachers and do make that available, irregardless of where you're at. And frankly, if you're a teacher in the state of Maryland, you say, you know, I want to see what the curriculum looks like from North Dakota. I don't think North Dakota Soybean Council would turn you down in wanting to help bring something to your classroom your students.
Awesome. If people have questions or they want to touch base with you about potentially getting in touch with the Soybean Council, et cetera, how do they get in touch with you?
ag@slugfamily.com is where you'll find me. And you'll find me today at Big Iron. We'll be in the Morton Building from 1 to 2 o'clock for our show, where we're going to be joined by folks like the representatives from Morton Building, Sweet North Dakota Sweet Crude, and Pivot Bio. Stop by, say hi, and especially tomorrow, noon to 1 o'clock, I'll host all those folks on social media, and especially those of you who follow us, to say hi. So swing by the Morton Building.
North Dakota Sweet Crude out there. This might be the day we need to swing by Weather and Ag and focus there, Bonnie.
They're bringing samples.
I know they are.
That's why he's coming out there.
Rolls. Thank you, Bridget.
See you guys. Thanks.
Wrong button, Bonnie.
That's okay.
And it is now 7:30.
Hello, Ty Schoenert here with your news update. Looks like there's traffic stalled on I-94 right now going westbound from Moorhead into Fargo. Stay tuned as more details become available. Looks like the left lane is completely closed according to eyewitness reports, and it's currently bottlenecked roughly around, looks to be the I-94 exit ramp on near the 75th Highway. This looks to be 8th Street South. So stay tuned as more details become available here. We are looking to find out more information on this is a crash or anything along those lines. So again, we'll continue to stay with us as that conversation continues. A Fargo man facing an attempted murder charge entering an Alford plea. An Alford plea is when a defendant admits the evidence against them is strong enough for a conviction, but they maintain their innocence. The charge stems from a shooting that happened last year at an apartment in downtown Fargo. 30-year-old Kyle Ochoa accused of shooting a woman 6 times. His sentencing set for November 25th. A Fargo man pleading not guilty in the murder of a strangulation death of 59-year-old Jody Campbell in June. Campbell was found dead in the apartment she shared with 61-year-old Randall Duffy. Police say admitting to choking her during an argument over drugs. Investigators say he called police hours later. Officers found Campbell's body in a closet. Duffy's next due in court on October 3rd. Fargo Police bringing back its traffic safety team. The team will patrol high traffic areas and respond to community concerns regarding speeding, racing, exhibition driving, loud mufflers, and other illegal behavior. A $750,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice is assisting with the expenses of the salary and benefits of the traffic safety team's 6 officers over a 3-year period. Former Griggs County Sheriff charged for tampering with a public record in his official capacity as a sheriff of the county. Michael Beaver accused of altering a document which originally showed he requested 3 officers for backup at an event in Cooperstown. However, the document provided by the Highway Patrol is different from one provided by the former sheriff, which claims only 1 officer was requested for backup across Briggs County. Beaver currently charged with tampering with public records, a Class C felony. The presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is today. Former Doug Burgum campaign official Lance Trover says the Harris's polling is beginning to dip from her honeymoon period previously.
I think most people are coming to see where she stands on some of the issues and how she positions herself. And again, I think it's the heavy lift that she has is trying to balance this past progressive posture that she's taken over the last 20 years versus how she wants to be as a candidate now.
Lance Trover making those comments while speaking to CNN's Wolf Blitzer. Now stay tuned for tonight's live debate coverage happening at 8 p.m. Central Time tonight. You can listen to Jay Thomas, Steve Hallstrom, and Scott Hennen as they do the pre- and post-debate shows as well. Minnesota Court of Appeals rejecting a man's request to overturn his conviction because a support dog was allowed in court. Yario Fernandez Sordo was convicted of first-degree criminal sexual conduct in Stearns County last year. The judge in the case allowed the 15-year-old victim to have a support dog in the courtroom over the objections of the suspect, who was later sentenced to 30 years in jail. Fernandez Sordo appealed, saying the court abused his discretion in allowing the dog into the courtroom. The Court of Appeals dismissed the case yesterday, saying the judge did nothing wrong by allowing the dog in court.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
.734, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we've got a few light sprinkles on radar just west-southwest of the FM area. They're diminishing as they move into the valley, but we're seeing the cloud cover from that, and we can't rule out a sprinkle or two, but nothing to worry about. Currently, temperatures in the low to mid-60s across much of the area, a few upper 50s scattered in there. We'll see some clouds this morning, and then we'll see more hazy sunshine this afternoon with that upper-level smoke. We'll have highs today right around 87 with a south-southeast wind at 10 to 20. A few high clouds tonight with lows in the upper 50s to near 60 and winds switching lightly to the west-northwest. And a little frontal boundary moves through tomorrow that keeps our winds out of the northwest on the light side with highs in the mid-80s. And then we'll warm things back up with windy conditions on Thursday and Friday with highs rebounding back into the upper 80s to near 90. So, pretty dry-looking forecast outside of a sprinkle or two here this morning. And then our next chance of rain, and that looks to be only about a 20% chance, comes in on Saturday. But if you have outdoor plans on Saturday, go ahead. Should be okay. Might have to dodge a few raindrops, but no widespread rain in the forecast, an overall dry pattern. And according to the LRC, that will hold until sometime later next week. Probably okay. The end of next week, it looks like.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather's brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. You know, if you're looking for a place to host your next event, you can check out Reed's Event Space at Reese and Riley's Olive Oil and Bistro Bar in Moorhead. You can let Reed's Event Center host your next party, reunion, or corporate gathering. They feature an exquisite Mediterranean cuisine with local ingredients and fresh handmade pasta. They even have gluten-free options, Bonnie, just what you need, right?
You bet. You can get all fancied up if you would like, casual or formal. Reed's Event Center offers a unique and sophisticated experience. To book your next party, call Reed's Event Center, 218-303-1279, or visit reeseandrileys.com. Stop in. They've got grab-and-go healthy meals if you want to do that. All sorts of fabulous oils and vinegars. Check out their great selection. They're located at 935 37th Avenue South, Suite 120 in Moorhead. Again, reeseandrileys.com. 7:36, we've been getting a number of emails and calls into our studios about backups on I-94 over on the Moorhead side. You might want to detour around. Sounds like it's pretty backed up. Just got a text message. Stop beyond the 336 East exit. We've got all that construction that's taking place in the overnight hours, but all the barrels are there. Mm-hmm. And people might not be paying attention. Not sure if there's an actual crash there or if it's just all backed up because of the construction cones that are set up in the area. But nonetheless, just got a call, too, about people detouring off. So you might want to avoid that stretch. Basically, the construction area is from Highway 336 to A Street in Moorhead, but westbound backed up to the 336 exit, if not past that, from what we're hearing from some of our listeners.
All right. Thank you, Bonnie. It is now 7:37. We've got a quick check of your national news. Big Game James McCarty's back with your WDAY Radio Sports. And then Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist, will be back with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:41, time for a check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James?
It was a slow evening last night in local athletics as you had West Fargo High in volleyball defeat Moorhead High in 3 straight sets. 3 close ones, though. It was 25-23, 25-21, and 25-18 in those. A lot more volleyball matches here this evening. And, of course, so we'll have a mixture of volleyball matches, and then also you have that first debate, don't we, tonight?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting, say the least. Politics. Big politic guy right there.
I was going to say, that's great analysis, James.
I'm so thankful that there's high school volleyball tonight so I can do something else. Shows where I'm at in life, yeah, huh?
James is just like, that debate, that's going to be something, huh, guys?
We're carrying it live here on WDAY. Yeah,
we are. It's going to be awesome. I can James, have an earbud in while I'm at a volleyball match.
It sort of sounds kind of like, you know, when the scene in Dumb and Dumber, when Jim Carrey comes out and goes, big gulps, huh, guys? Well, talk to you later.
Yeah, I just realized I'm about 2 sips of coffee, and apparently I need more caffeine, because what a transition that was.
Good job.
We're talking about backed up traffic on 94, and I think I just backed up the entire airwave. Oh, goodness.
He has to drive in from Moorhead, too, early in the morning, so we were venting together. But they're doing a great job.
Traffic is fine for me from West Fargo to Fargo, Bonnie. All things all clear.
I know. It's going to be nice when they get it done, but yeah, it's leading to lots of traffic backups.
I'm sick and tired of getting on the entrance ramp, and it feels like I'm going on a little Hot Wheels jump.
I think you're more tired than you are sick, but that's just my opinion.
It depends on the day. Hey, on the diamond last night, Twins falling to the Angels 6-2, now lost 4 straight, lost 5 out of 6. Kyle Farmer solo shot, Carlos Santana a RBI as well in that game. Twins Angels middle game of their 3-game set tonight at 6:40. Pablo Lopez gets the nod from Minnesota. Twins currently holding the last wild card spot in the American League, and they have a 3-game lead over Detroit, Boston, and Seattle for that final spot. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks would score first in Game 1 of the West Division Championship Series against Winnipeg last night, and the Goldeyes would score the last 10 runs, winning 10-1 in that matchup. 5 different relievers come in for the Redhawks, 6 pitchers pitch in total, so hopefully the bullpen's good to go tomorrow evening as they take on the Goldeyes in Winnipeg, 6:30's first pitch of it, Wednesday night once again, and it's a best-of-3 series, 1-0 is currently where Winnipeg leads that series. And the Minnesota Lynx tonight against the Dream in Atlanta. 6:30 is going to be tip-off. NBA TV is where coverage of that one's available. We also have primetime sports tonight at 6. Yeah, we do at 6:30, right?
Yes, we have PTS.
What time does the debate coverage start?
7.
7. Okay, 7 so we are good.
WDAY.
You can tell I'm really on top of it. I was like, wait. Good job. Yeah, so we'll have coverage of that. We're looking forward to it. We're going to have we're going to talk and wrap up a interesting weekend of college football. I'll put it that way. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
It is now 7:44. We'll take a quick 60-second timeout. When we return, Dean will bring you your 3-degree guarantee. 7:45, time for your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Trying to get a new streak going because Dean messed it up before going to Nebraska.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. It was before you went to Nebraska.
Oh, it was like 2-3 days before.
Still, it was before you went to Nebraska. Okay. Am I wrong?
No, okay. I thought you meant like the day before I left.
No, yeah. Usually you mail it in. I'm surprised.
Usually
you got
I do
that
the
one.
Day before, yeah.
You've got 2 right heading into yesterday.
I've got more than 2, dude.
No, 2. 2 in a row. That's all you have right now.
I'm going to double check my. You're probably right.
You got the 4th of September wrong. You got the 5th and 6th correct.
Ouch.
Yesterday, you picked 86 for your high. How did you do yesterday?
86 was the actual high yesterday.
All right, that makes 3.
Good
so
job,
now,
Dean, I'm proud of you.
We want to make it 4.
I take back that broom comment from earlier.
Oh,
jeez.
today
we're going to go 87. A lot of hazy sunshine. Some clouds around this morning. Little upper-level disturbance riding in from the west. It's mainly a cloud producer, although there's a few light sprinkles on radar. But, again, this is nothing to write home about. And then we'll be left with hazy sunshine this afternoon. 87 for your 3-degree guarantee. So not a bad day. Pretty similar to yesterday. Again, we're going to have that upper-level smoke throughout the area this afternoon, but more clouds this morning and then more sunshine this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Your 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
It amazes me that there's actually people that don't pay attention.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dean amazes you. That was going to be a whole other conversation.
He does. No, people that don't pay attention to the news or they don't want to listen to the news because they don't want to hear
Why? What happened in the news?
Lots of stuff happens in the news. So the guy that's facing charges in the death of the 4 University of Idaho students, Brian Koberger, they've done a change of venue. They're going to move his trial out of the county where the killings took place because of, the publicity surrounding the case.
It's hard to find an impartial jury. Yeah, I get
that. Well, so they're moving into Boise, but I mean, I guess you have a bigger jury pool to pick from, but it's like if you really have to be oblivious to life to not have heard, especially living in Idaho, to not have even heard about that case.
I thought you were going to say they were going to move it, say, west over to someplace like in Washington or Oregon or something like that, as opposed to just from the county that it happened in up to Boise.
I don't know what it would take to get it moved out of state. I think you have to keep it in the state.
Yeah, were they... correct me if I'm wrong. Was it Boise State students or University of Idaho students?
University of Idaho.
Okay. I'm drawing a blank on where that university is located, but obviously it's not in Boise.
But I mean, all the publicity surrounding that case, and it stretched on for how long before they finally made an arrest in the case, they can spin it, going to a bigger community, find an impartial jury, and that, you do want that. You don't want somebody who's biased on the jury. To begin with, but we'll see about that. So,
yeah. So hopefully they can find a jury and they can get a fair trial. But obviously for the victims and the victims' family, you hope that obviously this is the outcome that obviously you'd want, especially if the evidence proves the case to be correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't want to charge an innocent man or anything.
Yeah, just awful story.
Did you see the news yesterday? The legendary James Earl Jones passed away yesterday at age 93. He was the voice of Darth Vader. He was the voice of Mufasa. He played Eddie Murphy's dad, King Joffrey Joffer, in Coming to America.
Probably one of the most recognizable voices out there.
Oh, absolutely.
In the acting and voiceover world, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, voiceover acting, but obviously they're showing clips on TV. He played in a lot of different movies over the years. I mean, 93 years old, a lot of movie credits under his belt. I'm sure it's probably more voluminous than you even realize, but
quite an actor, quite a talent, and obviously saddened by the loss. But I mean, age of 93, yeah. Though that's a long, and obviously for him being a famous actor, a well lived life as well.
You bet. Woman arrested in Florida for stealing this. We'll have details on it coming up next. 7:52. Good morning to you. Thanks for being here, Bonnie Mastati, Jace Denman. Woman in Florida in trouble. She's accused of stealing an exotic bird.
Cockatoo, parrots, I've
never heard of this.
A macaw?
No, a black-headed caique. C-A-I-Q-U-E. They've got a pronouncer of caique on it. Never heard of it. It's an expensive bird. Are birds this expensive? It's valued at $2,400.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they can be expensive. I don't think you can get like one of those really big kind of fancy parrots that can mimic people's voices. I don't think those are cheap.
Those are pretty cool. Police say she was at a flea market and she stuffed the bird in her purse and then made off with it. Apparently, there was surveillance video at this flea market. Police released it to the media, and a couple of people came forward and said they recognized the woman.
I'm surprised the bird didn't make a bunch of noise and the person that owned the bird
shoving
wouldn't have
it in the purse.
You know, just flapping its wings and, you know, squawking. You
poor
think
bird.
And people are probably like, what's going on with that bird and that lady over there? And she just walks off like, no, this is my bird. I always keep it in my purse.
Based on tips from the public, police went to her residence and they found the bird. It's in good health. It's been returned. They called her the bird bandit. 54-year-old woman charged with felony grand theft, I suppose. $2,400.
Some people
bird.
Are just so weird. I don't know what to say, Bonnie.
Yeah, don't steal stuff, people.
Don't take stuff that's not yours.
Exactly. 7:54. This popular company has filed for bankruptcy ahead of store closures. We'll tell you which store coming up in your Money and Markets next. 7:57, checking out your Money and Markets. Opening bell rings this morning after Wall Street rallied its way to a higher close to start off the week. Tech shares and airline stocks are among the top performers as markets rebounded from last week's steep sell-off. Financial and retail shares also posted solid gains as investors anticipate a Federal Reserve rate cut later this month. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 484 points, S&P 500 added 62, and the NASDAQ was up 193.
That's a good day yesterday. I kind of
rebounded. But they had several down days pretty similar to those numbers.
I'll tell you how my account's doing after we get off the air.
Okay.
Coming up in the business week, we're set to get a couple of looks where things stand inflation-wise. Tomorrow brings a release of the Consumer Price Index, followed by the Producer Price Index the next day. Fast forward to next week, and the Federal Reserve will announce its highly anticipated decision on interest rates on Wednesday. Fed Chair Jerome Powell will deliver remarks after the initial announcement is made.
Apple is introducing a lineup of new products that includes the iPhone 16 and 16 Plus at an event at its headquarters yesterday. The tech giant unveiled the iPhone 16. It'll start at $799. The iPhone 16 starts at $899. Company announced its new Apple Watch Series 10, which has an updated design, and AirPods 4, along with updated AirPods Max in new colors with USB-C charging.
Yeah, there's also going to be AirPods Pro 2. Interesting part is they're also going to have a new Apple Watch Ultra, but it was still under the same number, so I don't know what's different other than the color, but maybe, you know, there's something else. Department of Justice antitrust case against Google got underway Monday in Virginia. Prosecutors alleged the Alphabet company's online and ad and technology inhibits smaller companies from competing. In his opening statement, an attorney for the DOJ said Google uses classic monopoly-building tactics to crush competition. Google denies the DOJ's claim, saying there's plenty of competition in apps and connected TV.
Big Lots is filing for bankruptcy just over a month after announced it would be closing hundreds of stores.
Only one in the state, Bonnie.
The one here in Fargo, right?
No.
Isn't there a Big Lots?
No, in Bismarck. They used to have a Big Lots in Fargo. And
oh, is
then
that
closed.
Not open anymore?
No, it closed a long time ago.
The sign's still on their building,
no,
isn't
it's
it?
Not.
Oh.
No.
The discount retailer said in a statement that high inflation and interest rates have hurt customer spending. The Ohio-based company is set to be sold to Nexus Capital Management. Big Lots previously announced it was closing 300 stores across the U.S. I was in there one time in my life.
We made several trips to there, and we may or may not have made a special trip to Bismarck. I'm just saying.
Just to go to Big Lots?
I can neither confirm nor deny there was other stops along the way as well.
All right. Coming up at 8:10 this morning, Harvest Hope Farm is holding their annual fundraiser coming up this Saturday, and we will get all the details on that right around 8:10 this morning. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8 o'clock. And just a heads up, traffic had been slowed, I-94 westbound. That's where they're doing late night and overnight construction. Lots of barrels up in that area. Didn't appear that we had any reports. I know Ty Schoenert was headed out that way to check it out to see if there were any vehicles involved in a crash. But from what we've been hearing at this point, just the traffic backups, traffic moving slow. Last report, it was backed up to Highway 336 westbound. So just there's a lot of construction barrels up in that area, even though they're not doing the work right now this morning. You might want to find an alternate route. That project expected to last about 3 weeks, and this is just starting the second week of it. The Fargo Police Department has brought back its traffic safety team. The team will patrol high traffic areas and respond to community concerns regarding speeding, racing, exhibition driving, loud mufflers, and other illegal behavior. $750,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice is assisting with the expenses of the salary and benefits of the safety team's six officers over a three-year period. A Fargo man who's facing an attempted murder charge has entered an Elford plea. That's when a defendant admits that the evidence against them is enough for a conviction, but they maintain their innocence. Charge stems from a shooting that happened last year at an apartment in downtown Fargo where 30-year-old Kyle Ochoa was accused of shooting a woman six times. His sentencing is set for November 25th. A Fargo man has pleaded not guilty to murder in the strangulation death of 59-year-old Jody Campbell in June. Campbell was found dead in an apartment she shared with 61-year-old Randall Duffy, who police say admitted to choking her during an argument over drugs. Investigators say he called police hours later, and officers found Campbell's body in a closet. Duffy is due in court again on October 3rd. The FAA has awarded $24 million to North Dakota to fund improvement projects at three airports in the state. The money will go to Hector International Airport in Fargo, Bismarck Municipal Airport, and Minot's Municipal Airport. It'll mostly be used to reconstruct paved taxiways, but some of the money will go toward expansion of Hector International Airport's terminal. No word on when that work will begin. An ammunition plant in Anoka, Minnesota, will be paying the EPA nearly $350,000 under a settlement announced. Federal Cartridge was cited by the agency for producing lead and other emissions that exceeded federal government standards. Company also agreed to install new filtration systems there. The EPA says the settlement should reduce particle emissions by 1,700 pounds a year, while the lead should drop by about 400 pounds a year. The Minnesota Court of Appeals has rejected a man's request to overturn his conviction because a support dog was allowed in court. Yero Fernandez Sordo was convicted of first-degree criminal sexual conduct in Stearns County last year. Judge in the case allowed the 15-year-old victim to have a support dog in the courtroom over the objections of the suspect, who was later sentenced to 30 years in prison. Sordo appealed, saying the court abused its discretion in allowing the dog into the courtroom. Court of Appeals dismissed the case yesterday, saying the judge did nothing wrong by allowing the dog in court. And don't forget, we are carrying that presidential debate tonight. ABC's pre-debate coverage begins at 7 o'clock with a debate to be set to begin at 8 o'clock. So tune into WDAY Radio for that. You can listen online, WDAYRadioNow.com, or listen on your mobile app. And our sister station, The Flag, is hosting a watch party and debate coverage right here at our studios if you would like to come in and hang out with them. 8:04, time now for a check on our forecast. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. Now it's your turn.
You have to watch a debate tonight. You'll be sleeping.
No, I'll be sleep. Well, I'm going to be in Detroit Lakes watching my niece play tennis, so however long
that's
that lasts.
It's getting rained out, though.
I better not get rained on. Got rained on in Fergus Falls a few weeks ago. So, no, I'll probably be tossing and turning. I probably won't fall asleep.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I possibly could be listening to it.
Okay.
I like recaps when I get here at, you know,
right.
Two
it's
in the
a
morning.
Little, yeah, it's easier than listening to an hour and a half of that, no doubt. Well, we're looking at the clouds this morning throughout the area as a little upper-level wave is moving in from the west. There's a few light sprinkles on radar right now south of Wahpeton down into areas of northeastern South Dakota. But again, it's very light and moving eastward into Lakes Country. And we'll be left with hazy sunshine for today. Clouds this morning will give way to hazy sunshine this afternoon. Highs in the mid to upper 80s today. with a south-southeast wind of 10 to 20. Some high clouds through the area tonight with lows near 60 and light winds switching to the west-northwest. And a light west-northwest breeze tomorrow will give us highs in the mid-80s. And then the winds ramp up out of the south-southeast on Thursday and Friday. It turns windy with highs in the upper 80s both Thursday and Friday. Then a front moves through the area on Saturday, could trigger off an isolated shower or thunderstorm with highs in the low 80s, and then we'll start to warm things back up into the mid to upper 80s Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. Pretty much a dry-looking forecast outside of, again, a few thunder showers possible on Saturday as a front moves through. But other than that, we're not looking at much in the way of precip around here until possibly late next week, which we're starting to really get into harvest then. And I know we don't want the rain then, but the LRC has been predicting this for the last few months, that third week of the month after about the 18th, 19th. That's when things could start to turn a little wet.
All right. All right. Thanks, Dean.
You bet.
Weather's been brought to you by Red Wing Shoes in Fargo. Check out the Red Wing Super Sole 2.0. Great for tough work environments such as agriculture. This time-tested premium heavy-duty boot is built to get you through long hours of demanding work. It's highly resistant to chemicals and abrasion. Stop into Red Wing Shoes at 3003 Main Avenue in Fargo or check them out online at redwingshoes.com. Time is now 8:06. We've got a quick check of your national news. When we come back, we'll have a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. And we'll be joined by Lynn Cutterba at Harvest Hope Farm. They've got their annual fundraiser on the farm coming up on September 14th. 8:10, time for a quick check on the local sports scene with Big Game James McCarty. James?
Last night, just one volleyball match within the metro, at least, as you had West Fargo High edge out Moorhead High in three straight sets. They were all tight, though. 25-23, 25-21, 25-18. On the diamond last night, the Twins falling to the Angels 6-2. The Twins' fourth straight loss. David Festa gave up four runs over four innings, was tagged with the loss. Kyle Farmer, a solo shot. Carlos Santana, a single RBI in that game. Twins and Angels, game two of a three-game set tonight at 6:40. Pablo Lopez set to get the nod for Minnesota. Twins currently with a three-game lead over Detroit, Boston, and Seattle for that third and final wild card spot in the American League. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, game one of the West Division Championship Series. We're up 1-0 going to the second inning against the Winnipeg Goldeyes before they gave up 10 unanswered runs and would fall 10-1. Orlando Rodriguez was tagged with a loss after giving up five runs over two and a third innings of work. Five other pitchers would contribute out of the bullpen for the Redhawks. Only RBI driven in was by Drew Ward in that one. Series now shifts to Winnipeg on Wednesday evening. First pitch at 6:30. The Goldeyes lead that best-of-three series 1-0. This evening, the Minnesota Lynx are heading to Atlanta to battle the Dream. Tip set for 6:30 in that one, as game coverage is also available on NBA TV. The Lynx enter with a record of 26-7, while the Dream are 12-23. And rounding out sports here this hour, tonight, primetime sports at 6:30 with Jason and I right here on WDAY Radio. We'll break down this past week of wild college football, give you a little Red Hawks talk, and then we'll go right into that debate coverage at 7 o'clock once the show wraps up.
8:12, we still have our Great Harvest Bread Company gift certificate to give away for today. So be listening if you want to win that. Be listening for an opportunity coming up yet here on Bonnie and Friends. As a fundraiser coming up this weekend, Harvest Hope Farm is having their annual fundraiser at the farm this Saturday. Lynn Cutterbaugh is joining us now for details on that. Good morning to you, Lynn.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For our listeners who maybe don't know what you do there at Harvest Hope Farm, I know you're a nonprofit. Tell them a little bit of what you're about.
Yeah, so our mission is to enhance well-being through hands-on farm experiences, and we teach about sustainability and environmental stewardship. So a couple of the big things we do is we have a farm camp for kids that runs all summer long. We do some llama camps for preschool kids in the summer. This school year, starting in October, we're actually going to be in 11 classrooms in Moorhead, bringing our Farm Camp on Wheels program there. And then kind of behind the scenes of all that is our special sheep that we raise and breed for use for Huntington's disease research.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Was that something a family member or runs in your family? Tell us more about that.
Yes, it does. So for those who don't know, Huntington's is a very devastating disease. It's basically a combination of Alzheimer's, ALS, and Parkinson's all in one. And my mom and sister both died from Huntington's when they were 49 years old. I'm at risk, and we've become very connected ever since I was a child, I guess, with the Huntington's disease community. So in 2017, when Jason and I heard about the sheep that were being used to for research for a treatment for Huntington's, we thought we'd hop on board. We didn't have sheep at the time, had no desire to have sheep at the time, but wanted to do what we could to help the cause. And so we have a flock of about 60 sheep right now that we breed and are currently maintaining some of those to be used for the research.
Interesting. Now, you folks are located, just north of Moorhead?
Yep, we're just north of Moorhead, maybe a 7-minute drive from North Fargo. And we have our fundraiser on Saturday. It's from 5 to 8. It'll be a fun time. It's for the whole family. We have a free will donation meal, a silent auction, lots of kid games. One of the favorite events is called the Dumbledore Drop, where we have a sheep by the name of Dumbledore who wanders a 100-square grid. You can buy a square for $50, and wherever he poops, that person wins $500.
Oh, and of course, the kids love that. I remember there's different names for it, too. I remember they used to call it Meadow Muffin Bingo back in the day, too.
I've never heard that before. That is awesome.
So this is our variation of it. And, so you can buy a square and pay $50 and maybe you'll win $500.
I love this. And you guys also, Harvest Hope Farm, you guys also do sponsorships, don't you?
We do. So if people are interested for our sheep, we do ewe sponsorships, and someone can sponsor you. They get to name it. You pay $300, you get to name that ewe, and the money goes towards, the sponsorship goes towards the care and the keeping of the sheep. And then we also do sponsorships for our garden boxes for our farm camp. So kids who come out to farm camp, they each raise their own 4x6 raised garden bed. They learn how to grow their garden from planting to harvest. They learn how to work with the animals. We do STEM projects. It's a way of getting kids back out in nature and connected with nature and the environment and their surroundings. So we're always looking for sponsorships for that as well. And all of that can be found on our website. But, we're always looking for camp sponsorships, garden box sponsorships, scholarship opportunities for the kids as well.
Well, and you are providing such an incredible opportunity to open up your land and open up your farm for kids and families to come in and get that experience, especially those who would never have the opportunity to be on a farm in their lifetime. They might grow up in the city, they don't have any family members, and you're giving them this incredible experience.
Yeah, well, when we moved to our farm in 2015, and we have 8 kids of our own, and we just saw the impact of, what the farm was on them and how good it was for them. And Jason and I come from education and human service background, but just really wanted to be able to give back to the community and impact kids outside of our professions, and just get them back out in nature and give them something that isn't typical for, summer opportunities. So much revolves around, sports and athletics and drama and theater, and that's all wonderful, but some kids don't gravitate to that. So this was just a good way to open up some other opportunities for those kids.
You bet. Now, this is your seventh annual Harvest Hope Farm Fall fundraiser. How many people do you usually see each year?
We typically get between 300 and 400 people. It's totally open house style, so you just come whenever you want between 5 and 8. We'll have pulled pork and salad and buns and cookies and lots of activities going on. People can walk the llamas. They can bid on, we have over 50 silent auction items. We'll do a little bit of talking about our programs around 6:30, and otherwise it's just a night for people to be on the farm.
Sheep, llamas, don't you have a miniature horse too?
We do. We have a miniature horse, and we have a donkey by the name of Herman. we have some pigs and some chickens and a couple of fainting goats. So you kind of get to see it all.
Oh, the fainting goats. How fun. But yeah, what an opportunity. And like you said, it's coming up this Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. HarvestHopeFarm.org. Is that the best way for our listeners to go to find out more information about you and to get your directions on how to get there? Or do you have a Facebook page too, Lynn?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page as well. You can find us at HarvestHopeFarm.org or on Facebook or Instagram at Harvest Hope Farm.
And yeah, keep in mind, you folks are a 501(c)(3) nonprofit too.
Yep, we are a nonprofit. So yeah, we would love to have everyone's support.
You bet. Well, thank you for, like I said, opening up your farm, and thanks for what you folks do. And hopefully someday, with those special sheep too, we do find a cure for Huntington's disease.
Yes, we are always hoping for that breakthrough. So, yeah, thank you so much for letting me share.
Absolutely. Lynn, you take care, and I hope you have a great turnout this Saturday.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. That's Lynn Cutterbaugh, Harvest Hope Farm. Again, go to harvesthopefarm.org. You can learn a lot more about them. But yeah, take the littles out there and the bigs. We all like animals, don't we?
I'm sure. I mean, let's bet some money on Dumbledore.
what a fun event, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I that cracked up at that. But yeah, that's a great event, especially get them out there. It's all for charity, obviously. It's for a great cause. And obviously get out to rural America, be out there on the farm.
And I like that they do the meal too. So yep. Barbecue pork, and mm-hmm. It's a free will donation for that. And I mean, I wish I had littles in my life still.
Well, you do have a little there. She's just in Chicago.
I usually can talk Logan into things, but he's 22 now. He'll be like, Mom, really? But yeah, it's for big people too.
Know,
it's not
exactly.
Just for the littles. All right, let's see what's going on here. Great Harvest Bread Company, yep. Tuesday today. So they've got the cracked pepper parmesan, the Dakota bread, cranberry orange, the plain sourdough. I'm a muffin person. Double chocolate brownie muffin and pumpkin chocolate chip. I love pumpkin.
You had me at the double chocolate muffin, mm-hmm. For sure right there.
How about one of each?
Here's the thing though, a double chocolate muffin, let's be honest, that's really a cupcake. You know what I mean?
Get two, they're small.
I mean, I don't know what the difference is, but necessarily between a cupcake and a muffin per se, but when you have a double chocolate chip muffin,
delicious.
It's a cake. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on, let's be serious. Plus the great food that they have over there, Great Harvest Bread. Also, obviously, Bonnie, they've got scones.
The cinnamon chip ones.
Those are so good.
I think that's their best seller. Yeah.
She's brought those in several times. Those are fantastic. They've also got a rhubarb one. And then, of course, I think it's your favorite cookie.
Peanut butter. I love peanut butter cookie. Yeah, and we had Cassie in studio with us yesterday. We talked about they have fabulous breakfast sandwiches. Yep. We got a sample. They've got a biscuit one. They've got a bread one. They open at 6 o'clock.
Three different types of bread you can put it on. Mm-hmm. You have your choice of egg. Egg is going to be on the breakfast sandwich, but then you got either ham or bacon.
Yum.
You can pick your different cheese you want. I think they had American. I think they had Swiss. I think they had pepper jack. I don't remember if they had
provolone.
Cheddar as well.
Provolone. 6 to 6 weekdays. So if you want to stop in and grab breakfast, 6 to 2 on Saturday. Also, don't forget their lunches, their soups, salads, all kinds of great stuff.
They've got a sitting space there, too, for about at least 25 people.
They've expanded it.
So you can get it and eat it there so you don't have to share with anybody.
Great Harvest Bread Company. You can find them, same spot they've been for a long, long time, 1523 South University Drive in Fargo. And we've got a gift certificate to give away. If you are caller 5 right now, we'll hook you up with that to Great Harvest Bread Company, 701 701- 800-293-9000. It is 8:23. We are going to head to the American Ag Network. Then we'll find out what Janae and Ronnie are up to. They are out at Big Iron this week. Big Iron officially kicking off today, and it runs through Thursday. They're broadcasting live from the Brenco building. So we'll check in with Janae and Ronnie coming up right after the American Ag Network. Congratulations to Julie D. She just got hooked up with a gift certificate to Great Harvest Bread Company. Now I want some of those peanut butter cookies.
I wanted that double chocolate.
Well, muffin. That sounds good, too.
Why don't you go run and make a drive? Nah,
it wasn't
drive
like
through.
I overate yesterday. Maybe no, I'll exactly. go for another day of overeating.
Why not?
Today.
Why stop with one day? All make it a food. Streak, Bonnie.
It is so delicious over there at Great Harvest Bread Company. All right, we'll do it again tomorrow right here on Bonnie and Friends. It's 8:27. We find some more of our friends, Janae and Ronnie from the Coffee Club, live from the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. We've got Big Iron that kicks off today. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
How's it going out there?
Oh, it's great. We love Big Iron. To me, it's like the best time of the year. I'm amongst my people.
Yes, you are. Officially, the gates open at 9 o'clock. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. We are, of course, in the Branco building and enjoying some Moxie Java. So thanks for providing great coffee to kick off our Big Iron.
And we are surrounded by beautiful equipment.
Yeah, there's a lot of beautiful equipment out there. We're talking money out there, and it's not just about the red. It's about the green out there, too, Janae.
Oh, yes, yes.
If it ain't green, you
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just on the equipment wars out there. My goodness, everybody taking a brand, I guess.
If it ain't red, keep it in the shed. Just
yeah.
remember that.
Yeah, I just knew that from her. What are you guys doing? So you're live from the Brenco building. What are we going to be hearing on your show today?
We're going to be talking to Triple E Inc. We're going to be talking to the guys at Brenco, Josh and Garrett. They just have a lot going on. We're going to talk some farm facts. And it is also Tuesday, which means we're going to have our nonprofit, thanks to Luther Family Ford, and that is Farm Rescue. Dan Erdman's going to be joining us today as well.
Oh, yeah, great. And tis the season for that. They'll be busy doing harvesting.
Absolutely. Yeah, people are busy harvesting. And we are surrounded by amazing power washers, floor sweepers. And I don't know, there's a cool video that if it's not up, it'll go up today of me getting to test drive.
Oh, it's
the big bad boy they have. Yeah. Oh, yes, and we've got hitches out here, too.
Yes, yeah, I saw that one. I saw that video.
Yep, so if you come out here and say hi, you can get yourself one of these hitches. And they're nice. They're big. They're huge.
You bet. So find you guys and the rest of our crew, Weather and Ag Radio, Jay Thomas Show. You guys will all be broadcasting from the Brenco building?
Yes,
Weather
we
and
are.
Ag and Focus, I believe, is in a different location.
They're in the Morton building.
They're in
I
the
believe.
Morton building.
Okay.
Where the rest of us are in the Brenco. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, you guys have a great show. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Jason and I are getting out of here.
You
probably
betcha.
Say goodbye. Stay all tuned right. for the Coffee Club. That's straight ahead. It is 8:30.